This is the Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast. The new episode available each week. This is episode 294. And this week is a little special because we're going to do something a little different. But before we get to that, please make sure to find The Hoe on the Go with our Apple or Android apps. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, where reviews are appreciated, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. And please share the show on your social media outlets. We are also on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. We're on Facebook at The Hollywood Outsider. And also, there's our Facebook group. Please join it, and you can talk to all of us there. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
Hey, what's going on, Aaron?
Not much. John Davenport.
Hey, man. Hey, Scott. We're all here.
We are all here. And this is kind of a special episode of the show because we are actually all not here. I mean, we're here, but we're not here, if that makes any sense. You guys understand what I'm saying?
Suckers.
From the future. Future.
Yes. From the year 2000.
From the year 2000.
So what we're going to do is, because we actually can't be here this week, but
we're slack.
Yeah, we're slackers. But that doesn't mean you won't get to hear something you haven't heard before. You hear us every week talk about Patreon, right? Patreon.com/The Hollywood Outsider, where we're like, pay $5 a month to get two extra episodes a month of The Hollywood Outsider, where we do stuff that we normally don't do on a regular episode. You guys know what Patreon is, right?
No, what's that, Aaron?
In unison. All right. So here's what Patreon is. It's basically, it's a way to support your favorite podcast, The Hollywood Outsider. And like I said, you donate $5 a month, $3 a month, whatever you want. You can, anything you want. And you can support the show because it does take money to keep the show afloat. So we decided, since we can't be here this week, instead of leaving you with nothing, we would give you a Patreon sample platter, which means we're going to give you a couple of our favorite topics from the past few months that we've done on those shows. We're going to give you one behind-the-scenes host story. We do one every month. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not, but sometimes they're always interesting. And it's even going to be one of our best, where Mr. Brian Williams talks about how he met Jamie Lannister and I ruined that for him. And then we're going to give you a sample. We're going to give you an entire episode, actually, of one of our bad movie nights where we talk about the movie White Chicks. So what do you guys think about these particular things that you're going
to
hear?
I'm pretty excited about it. But, you know, let me ask you, Aaron, how much are we charging these guys to be able to listen to this Patreon stuff?
I already did it like 8 times. How many more times do I need to do it?
I just want to make sure that we nail that right in.
Okay.
To the ground with that dead horse right next to it.
Kicking it, beating it, whatever it takes. are people going to enjoy it? Scott, why are you giggling?
You know what's going on? Scott right now is going to saying, I don't have a script.
I don't have a script. I don't know what to say.
God. You're so Ron Burgundy.
I gotta have some kind of prompt, man.
We lost.
What do
John.
You think about this topic?
It was a good topic. You're gonna enjoy it.
All right. What do you think about Bad Movie Night? You remember White Chicks? I mean, is that a fun episode for people?
Oh, that actually was a really fun episode because that movie is awful for all the right reasons, and it was an awkward conversation. So yeah, enjoy that.
Before we get into that, I do want to say that I did see one new movie, Murder on the Orient Express, one of my most anticipated of the year. It's based on the Agatha Christie book, if you ever read it. It's a wonderful book. It stars Kenneth Branagh as Hercule Poirot, who is one of the most famous detective, the greatest detective in the entire world. Just ask him. He'll be happy to tell you. The one thing about the character is he has a sense of – he has a little bit of arrogance to him, a lot of anal – retentiveness. I mean, he's very perfection. He's a perfectionist about everything. And what happens is he's trying to get to a location, and unfortunately, because of a problem, he has to take a train. And thankfully, he's got a friend that happens to own a train, so it works out great. So he hitches a ride on the Orient Express, and along the way, one of the passengers is murdered. That's right, murdered. Some of the suspects are Daisy Ridley, Josh Gad, Michelle Pfeiffer. All-star cast, completely all-star cast. And as you follow the film, the train ends up actually delayed, and that's where Poirot tries to solve the crime before they get to the next station. Beautifully shot. 70mm, I believe, was the entire film was shot. And some of the cinematography is gorgeous. It looks fantastic. It was a lovely film. I know that sounds weird, but you don't see many old-fashioned films these days. This was very old-fashioned in the sense that it was just a murder mystery, wasn't flashy, there isn't a lot of spectacle, but it looks great. It reminds me of the cinematography from The Hateful Eight. Snowscapes, mountains, just beautiful aerial shots, that sort of thing, as well as that old 1930s vibe. So you have that aesthetic. You have a little bit of a time gap from the present. And it's just it's a well laid out film. It follows the book very closely. So if you read the book, it is very close in suit and step to the book. And the ending it pulls off, which the ending is a very tricky ending. If you ever read the book, you know that the ending is very tricky, and it does pull it off. So I was quite surprised and happy with how the film turned out. Kenneth Branagh was great as Poirot, and it's a hard role to pull off as well because he does have a sense of arrogance, and his mustache is something to marvel at. He has a, I don't know, it's more insane than Kurt Russell's mustache in The Hateful Eight. So be sure to check it out. I really had a good time with it. I'm a big fan of the book, so I was really nervous that they couldn't capture it quite, and they did a great job. And it's right up, it might be better than the Albert Finney version of my book. I don't know. But if $10 is the full price of admission, I give it $7. All right, well, let's get into it. And remember, if you stick around, you will finally hear the infamous Brian Williams meets Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones story. It's a great one. I don't think you want to miss it. But first,
I'm actually shocked you're doing that.
Why?
I really am. I thought you said that would never make a regular, that would never be outside of Patreon. So,
well, it's one of those things. I trimmed it a little bit. So you want to hear the full one, you're going to have to listen to the full episode. But it's a great story. And if you want to give somebody a sample of what the behind the scenes sort of story should be, John, then that's what we're going to do. So
if you want to hear the whole story and all the good bits, you gotta become a Patreon subscriber.
There's some of the good bits are in there. Crux of it, but there's like a lot of backstory that you don't hear unless you actually subscribe to Patreon. Most of it's in there. There's not going to be any of that stuff where you're listening to it and then it cuts off right when something cool is going to happen. We don't do that to you. This is like, I'm not doing that. This ain't Shyamalan or whatever his name is. M. Night. This ain't that. This is the Hollywood Outsider. We do it. We let you have. If we say we're going to do something, we do it. If you want
to tell them again, Aaron, what they're going to get with this special value.
If you want an original episode, there's one on the Patreon feed right now, so you can go listen to that. I'm done. And a couple quick things before we start this should let you know that there are some references to Kevin Spacey before everything happened. So just pretend that didn't happen for like 5 minutes so you can enjoy the show. And also the first bit, there's a couple jokes about Scott being late because he was actually late to the recording. So he shows up right when the topic starts. So that's what those jokes are about. So here you go. Let's get into it. We've got bad movie dates, TV shows we just can't love, and then bad movie night with white chicks, which is on Netflix right now. If you want to watch the movie before you listen to that one, feel free.
Yeah.
Are there any other gestures like this, good or bad, that you would want to see when some entertainer you know of bites it?
Let's see. When Arnold bites it, I'd like to see Terminators placed randomly in the streets of L.A.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Charlie Sheen, a parade of hookers and coke just going down the middle of Hollywood Boulevard.
How do you represent coke? Exactly.
You just throw white powder. That's it. All they have to be doing is throwing white powder in the air.
I love it.
Tom Selleck, I want to see a silhouette, like a bat signal, but it's really just his hair, the mustache, and a Hawaiian shirt on the shown on the side of a volcano.
Okay. Okay.
On the side of a volcano.
Okay.
That seems to fit.
Yeah, I like it.
Kevin Smith, everyone needs to smoke weed once.
Like the whole country, the whole planet?
Like the whole country, yeah.
We just all toke it for Kevin?
Yeah, he deserves it.
Is it sad that that's what he represents now?
It kind of is. I've been actually wrestling with this a lot because he's in my town filming a movie, and like I'm excited that he's here, and I'm excited of the prospect of possibly tripping over him someplace in this town. But then I started thinking about like I love that guy so much because of the message he generally carries of just being good and giving and all that other stuff that he does and how he's always there for people, he, stranger or not, he always seems to be really accessible for his. But yet I'm not into his whole smoking thing, and I'm kind of tired of all the dick jokes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. I love the guy so much, but I ignore the parts of him that I dislike, just like the with that. I don't know. It's just something I'm thinking about.
I would like, well, first, when Scott goes, I would like a big shining beacon that looks like a clock in the sky. I would like that. Definitely want that. What I would like when Dolph Lundgren goes, I want people to walk around the streets with a Punisher shirt on because I feel like he gets an unfair kind of lashing over that film when I thought he was doing fine. It's just the movie kind of sucked.
Yeah, it was the 80s or was it the 90s?
I've
heard it both ways.
When Henry Cavill goes,
mm-hmm.
I kind of want people to walk around with Christopher Reeve shirts on, pictures of Christopher Reeve, and it says hashtag not my Superman. I would like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a dick move.
Kind of stick it to him. Fuck him. That's what I thought.
But you like Henry Cavill as Superman.
No, that's saying to screw all the people that have been dicking on him for years. Like, digging on him for years. As like, he's not Christopher Reeve. You have a picture of Christopher Reeve on the t-shirt with a hashtag says, not my Superman. See?
Oh, I got it.
In Cavill's honor. I think that would be fun. Anything you had to suggest?
I have one, but I feel kind of weird giving these because I feel like you would just like kind of knock on wood everywhere. You know, you say, because I feel like I'm going to jinx any celebrity that I say I'm going to about them dying. So, but I have a really good idea.
They're not going to die just because you threw something in there. You'll be all right.
I'm still going to knock on wood. But if Tom Hanks goes, I want to see like a nationwide run across America thing. You know, like
yeah,
that's pretty good.
Like in, you know, Forrest Gump. And I don't want one person to do it because that's insane, but maybe like a relay kind of thing where they go from one end and pass it to the next person that gets organized all the way across the United States. That'd be pretty cool. The only other one I had was Jim Carrey. Like if Jim Carrey goes, I'm not exactly sure what they could do, but they could do something with a good afternoon, good evening, and a good night from Truman Show. Just like a, I don't know, just like a, something more than a t-shirt, something kind of like a nationwide, everybody just says it in memoriam kind of thing, or it's on his tombstone or something. I don't
like
know.
That. I would like if Miles Teller buys it, everybody walks around with a poo emoji costume on.
Poo
nobody?
Emoji.
Nobody? Yeah, because he's poo. He's poo.
He's poo.
You know what I don't want to see?
A poo emoji costume, apparently. That's what I'm getting. God.
Well, if you got to explain him, it's little. But if Matthew McConaughey... If Matthew McConaughey goes, I don't want like this whole thing where everybody starts going after high school girls because that's just wrong.
Okay.
Oh, Matthew McConaughey goes. That's in his honor. So you know what they say about high school girls.
Yeah, we got it. We're just not laughing with you now. That's payback. That's what that is.
Payback.
If an icon goes like Sean Connery, I want everyone to be drinking martinis. Just walking around the streets with martinis.
You know what? Everyone should be randomly just very well dressed.
I like it.
That's good.
Oh, just sure. Tuxedos everywhere.
Yeah, tuxedos everywhere.
Everybody at McDonald's.
Working random random vape pen being put away.
If Nick Cage goes, we can all just act crazy as shit. So we can be normal, basically.
So Tuesday for me.
All right, we're on to our From the Outside In topic, which for this episode is bad movie dates. But before we get into our bad movie dates, explain what pisses you off. Now, I don't mean what complete strangers do. I mean what pisses you off when you go to the movies with another person and that person with you, who should know the rules, does things. What is it that pisses you off?
You know, I got my movie buddy Hal that I go to movies with a lot. So I kind of do this to myself because I know what I'm getting into each and every time, which Hal and I, without fail, are going to do a buffer seat between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because Hal works in the heat all day, and sometimes he doesn't have a chance to shower before he goes to the movie, or he doesn't necessarily smell test his clothes before he leaves the house. So there's that. So number one, smell problem with Hal. Number two, he's got something going on with his sinuses and the way he breathes. So he'll be sitting there and all of a sudden he's getting really into the movie and his breathing suddenly just goes.
That was on my list, dude. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple friends. Same thing.
Yeah. I think we both have one friend that does that.
Yeah.
Same friend. I hate that, man. And sometimes it's not their fault. You know what I mean? If they have a condition or a health problem or something like that, but it doesn't make it less annoying.
No, it doesn't make I had to learn to actually, like, whenever he starts doing that, I go, Hal. He's like, what? You're breathing. Oh, sorry. And then he closes his mouth again.
Hal, stop breathing.
you just kind of slowly point at your nose, like brush your finger right at the side of your nose. Like, breathe through your nose, buddy.
Yeah.
Breathe through your nose. Mm-hmm. That's what it's there for.
Die, Hal. Die. any other ones, John?
When I go to the movies with my wife and it's something I'm really, really excited with and I can just feel her not enjoy it.
Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's really difficult for me to enjoy a movie when I know the person next to me isn't.
Yeah.
Why do you guys feel that way? I don't get that. My enjoyment isn't really affected by if other people get it or like it or whatever. I don't care what I mean, I want them to enjoy it, but if they don't, I don't care. I'm still gonna enjoy it or not enjoy it based on what I like. I don't get it. Why does that bother you guys?
Well, because you're doing something socially. I mean, and if that'd be like if you go to the bar with your wife and she's not having a good time, you can't. It's hard to have a good time. I like to make people happy, Aaron.
You pulled that out way too fast for it to be just a thought.
But see, I don't get that because I'm at a bar. I'm looking at her. I'm watching. I'm observing. You know, we're engaged. I'm watching a movie. I'm not looking at her the whole time or looking at my friend the whole time. I'm just watching the movie. So. I won't even know, in my opinion, unless it's a comedy, I'm not laughing. But, you know, if I'm watching a drama, horror, action, whatever, I'm not really going to pay a whole lot of attention to if she enjoys it or not until afterward.
Well, see, for me, and then usually I would agree with you. If it's just any random person, I would agree with you. Any one of my other friends that like going to the movies with Steve, if he's not enjoying it, fuck Steve. I don't care. I'm still watching my movie. I'm going to enjoy it. And then we'll probably have a discussion of it afterwards. But like when I go with my wife, it's, you know, I get all excited and I really want, but at the same time, I'm not really paying attention to her. I can just feel her, you know, I can feel yep. her presence just start changing. She does, and it's not because she's doing the whole, she's not doing the sigh, she's not doing it's just like, there's just something about it where I can just feel it. And like the one and only time that it really happened was with Thor Underworld. Granted, it's Thor Underworld.
Underworld? Not, you mean Thor 2?
Whichever one it was.
Dark World. Dark World,
yes.
Kate Beckinsale's nowhere to be found.
Right name for it.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't good enough to get the right name for it. Anywho, yes, I'm trying to enjoy the movie because it's Thor, and you know it's a Marvel movie. I'm trying to really get into it, and just having her next to me not getting into it was making it harder for me to not get into it.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way.
I don't understand you people. I'm going to enjoy a movie unless it's a comedy. I'm going to enjoy a movie regardless of what everybody else does. But hey, teach their own. Mine is your phone. I don't care who it is. I don't care if you're with me, you're not with me, whoever you are. As soon as you get the warning, like trailers are over, I don't really care with trailers, but as soon as like you get the thing where it says, turn your phones off, and you got a friend that's still using one, I just want to chuck it across the auditorium. I don't even care. Like, I don't care if it ruins a friendship because it's just something that really, especially if they're with you, because even if they're fiddling with it and you don't see the light, it's obvious that they're fiddling with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just like that ingrained thing where it's just nails on a chalkboard, like, God, stop it. You know,
it's also just distracting that they're doing something next to you.
It's rude. And loud chewers. Like, close your goddamn mouth. Who eats like?
Hal does.
We have another friend.
I can't stand it.
All right. So I took Hal for his birthday to go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hal sounds like a shitty friend. You should probably pitch him.
He's a great friend, but we took Hal to go see it, and I was going to buy him his dinner, and he said, no, you can't buy me my dinner. I'm like, why not? He's like, because I've saved up all week for this. And I went, what do you mean? He's like, I haven't really eaten anything but ramen all week just so I can have the dinner here. And he orders himself three entrees.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no!
And he's eating throughout because I go to the Cine Bistro, so he's eating throughout Guardians of the Galaxy. Now somehow I managed to not sit directly next to him, so I was fine. But Courtney was so pissed because every couple of moments in the movie, he's like sucking on a chicken wing or he's shoving something else in his mouth.
Why would they serve chicken wings at a movie theater? That's just a bad idea.
Yeah.
Oh, and then were they licking his fingers and everything out? Like that whole
thing? So not only is he breathing like he does, but he's like, it's like sitting next to a damn English bulldog when he eats.
Oh, it's so gross.
That's a big one. I don't like eating. That's what, see, John, you're always talking about your Cinebistro high fancy pollutant theater. That's why I don't like those places. Popcorn is bad enough, but you get all kinds of other foods introduced and it's just nothing but gross to me. I don't want to hear it. I don't like loud chewing. I don't like slurping. If somebody has a cold, I find that just as annoying as babies, you know, in a theater. It's like, you know, you're sick, stay home. You know, you're throwing your germs around the auditorium in a nice close auditorium. Not to mention, do the whole movie. It's not fun.
I've got friends that I only ever see when they're sick, and it pisses me off.
That doesn't sound like a friend.
That's like the only time they ever call to hang out. They're like, hey, you want to hang out? Yeah, sure. Okay. And they show up. I'm like, hi, we've had the flu for 3 years. What the hell's the matter with you? Why are you calling me?
It's called Zicam, people. Take it.
Right.
Oh, man.
Mine is, and I feel guilty saying this one because I do this on occasion, especially when I go with Aaron. But people that like lean over and ask too many questions during the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, and Aaron, you know, I do that once in a while just because I'll be like, hey, I missed what they said. It's not because I'm not paying attention. I just couldn't hear. But I've gone with people that just will lean over every 10 minutes and be like, what's going on? What? Pay attention to the movie.
Stop talking to me. You should be watching
the
movie.
And it makes it uncomfortable because I know everybody else around me is like Aaron and is like just knows that we're having this conversation. Like, I don't want to be talking right now. I don't want to get yelled at. Stop it. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to the movie.
I mean, there are opportunities for stuff like when we saw 50 Shades Darker. That's an opportunity to shit talk. And I get it. I mean, and honestly, I don't really care. That's a movie where you get what you get. You go see it in the theater.
And I mean, like comedies and stuff. When we, you know, we crack, like when we saw that Robert De Niro movie that wasn't very good, but we still laughed pretty hard.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
It you know, just like making comments back and forth, that's kind of stuff doesn't bother me. But like when you're literally like asking questions constantly, either because you're not paying attention or because you're not hearing for some reason, turn your hearing aid up. I don't know.
Paying attention is definitely important. Another one is kids. Like I love kids. I'm like, seriously, I have two kids. I love kids. But there's a time and a place for kids. Now, if you're at a kids movie or you're at a family movie, like a Marvel movie, I am not one of those people. I don't believe you have a right to bitch if you've got kids screaming and hollering, having a good time at a Marvel movie, because it is a family movie. It's not meant, you know, just for adults. But if you're like at a rated R movie and you've got babies and stuff, that's on you. You're automatically a bad parent and you should have your kids taken. I like DCFS should be called when that happens, in my opinion. Immediately. Like, you should just lose custody. I don't even think this should be a debate. Just kidding. Don't get mad. If you're bringing a 2-year-old, see the Matrix Reloaded or something, that's on you. You know, shame on you.
Yeah, there wasn't there kids when we saw Deadpool and
yes, like God,
what's going on
now? You know, some people will say that. Well, you know, I mean, we thought it was a Marvel movie. Look cute in the trailers. And like, do your research, man. That's part of being a parent. That's like, it's just part of the job. Just like,
I can't imagine that the lady at the counter didn't go, you know, this is a rated R movie, sir. No, I don't care.
I was in a
comic book store the weekend that came out, and the guys behind the counter were talking to these two older cats with their kids. And these guys were like, hey, so we're going to take our kids to go see Deadpool. And all the kids are under the age of 10. And the two nerds behind the counter were like, don't. You don't want to do that. And they're like, why not? It's just a comic book movie. What's the big deal? And the one kid goes, they talk about pegging in the movie. Do you want to have to explain that to your kid?
Some parents don't care. I've worked at retail stores where parents come up and try to buy copies of Grand Theft Auto 5 for their kid. And I've had conversations with the parents. Look, do you know what's going on? Meanwhile, the kid's staring daggers at me from behind the counter. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You're ruining this for me. And seriously, like 7 times out of 10, the parents just still, whatever, it's a game. That game is messed up.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up, man.
Yeah.
It really is. Well, let's get to them. We've all had them. You make plans. Doesn't have to be romantic, by the way. You just, you know, a movie date. It could be friend date. It could be a play date. Whatever, however you want to phrase it. Just plans with somebody else. And things go bad or wrong. What's been some of your worst, Scott?
I had a couple. One actually is one that you brought up, Aaron. It was there was a girl that I was interested in when I was younger, and I asked her to go to a movie with me. It was the I cannot remember the name of the movie, but it was one with Robin Williams where he was like a robot. Do you remember that one?
Yes. Bicentennial Man.
Yeah, Bicentennial Man. Yeah.
Bicentennial Man. And I'm thinking I'm going on a date with this girl, and she brings her like 2 or 3 year old nephew with.
Oh, no.
And if you've seen that movie, it's got some comedy in it, but it's not a kid's movie by any means. So here I'm all excited. I'm thinking I'm going on a date with this girl, and this kid is just not interested in this movie because why would he be? It's not a kid's movie whatsoever. It's a pretty long movie, actually, and not very good. But I wound up having to take this kid to the bathroom like 2 or 3 times, and so I missed a bunch of the movie, and he wouldn't sit still and was squirming, and it just ruined the whole thing for me, and obviously it didn't work out with that girl. So that was one of mine.
Did it not work out because of the nephew?
No, there is plenty more reasons other than that.
But, just checking, because kids can ruin a lot of things in life. You know, you never know.
They can.
Mm-hmm. Babies ruin everything.
Not everything. I got pretty lucky with mine. But, I mean, I've seen some people with some really awful kids that I could see dating that person and be like, yeah, this would ruin my life. So, no.
I got one other one.
I actually did date a girl long, this is eons ago, and she had a kid. And the kid is the reason I broke up with her. I'm like, I can't do it, man. Your kid is awful, which means you're probably awful. So I can't do it. And nice. Yes, that is what I said. You're welcome.
Wow, what did she say?
Well, that's kind of an asshole thing to say. I'm like, yeah, but your kid is an asshole. So I don't know what to tell you. You don't seem to care that your kid is a little like he's going to kill you in your sleep. But you do what you got
to
do.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Somebody told you that was an asshole thing to say? That doesn't sound like you at all.
I know, right? I mean, I thought I said it sweet.
It's called tact, man.
Yeah, that kid was an asshole. She needed to get that in order, man. That kid is going to kill. If I don't even think she's alive anymore because of that kid. I'm sure he burned the house down.
There was a time in my life I probably should have followed that rule.
Absolutely. Everybody should probably pay attention to that rule.
Yeah.
Don't deal with kids you don't like. If you don't like that kid, it's going to be a long life for you. So it's just not worth it. I'm sorry, Scott. I didn't mean to cut you off. What was your other one? Are you at more?
My other one is kind of a funny story because I was the asshole in this story.
How's that work?
Were you late to the movie?
What? No. It wasn't. Oh, that's what I should have mentioned, though. When people just I cannot stand it when people can't be on time. I mean, if you miss the previews, that's one thing.
Jesus Christ.
This is not.
I know. It's kind of ironic.
Kind of.
But when I was younger, my brother is 5 years. Yeah, I know.
We're gonna lose John.
Should have just kept my damn mouth shut.
Too late. You're already in it. Go ahead and finish.
I'm going to let John finish.
It'll be a while.
Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, Dr. Giggles is gone.
Okay, I can do this.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay. So when I was younger, my brother is 5 years younger than me, and my parents decided he was too young to go to a movie with a girl by himself. So I was asked to chaperone, and of course I sabotaged the hell out of their date. Because they didn't want me to sit with them. I sat like in the row behind them or something like that, and I messed with them the entire time, like to the point that my brother was getting pissed. At one point, I waited for a really quiet scene in the movie and just ripped a loud fart just to embarrass the hell out of him. He has still never forgiven me for that. But it was a crappy movie I don't want to say it was like a dollar theater, but it was a very very cheap theater. So I was the asshole in that case. But it was, you know, when you're a 15-year-old kid, that's a pretty funny thing. So.
Wait, does that mean he was 10 years old going on a date?
I don't know, 16, 17. He was young.
Well, it's good that you ruined his whole future.
Turned out okay.
That's what brothers do.
Married.
Not to the same girl.
No. Maybe subconsciously, I can't remember even who it was, if I liked her or didn't like her. I just knew I wanted to. It was hilarious when I was a kid. So,
Johnny, what about you? Bad movie dates?
I only have one.
Okay.
And the reason why I have one, because most of the time they're usually okay, but this one in particular, it also involves Hal, go figure.
What the hell is with Hal, man? Why is he at the center of your life? Is he your best friend?
He might as well be.
Okay.
I don't know. It's too much of a superlative to put on him. Anyhow, we got a big group of get together to go see Phantom Menace. And the girl that I was seeing at the time is next to Courtney. Single greatest love of my life was this girl.
Ooh, I hope Courtney listens to this episode. I hope she does.
Courtney knows exactly who she is, because when we were first dating, I accidentally called her by her name. Anyhow,
what? It wasn't in the middle of anything, was it?
No, it wasn't in the middle of everything. And actually, Courtney took it as a compliment, because she knew how much she meant to me, and that it was actually a good relationship. Even the breakup was amicable. Anywho, so I get a big group together, and I went out the earlier in the week and got everyone's their tickets, but Hal shows up late. And so I'm out in the lobby waiting for Hal to show up, because I have his ticket. And meanwhile, all the rest of my friends go and they go and they sit, and they're holding a seat for me, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And so finally Hal shows up, and he shows up like 2 or 3 minutes into the movie. So I even missed the trailers, which at the time I absolutely loved trailers. But so when we get in the theater, my seat is somehow that they're saving for me is somehow 3 or 4 seats away from my girlfriend. And my buddy Steve is sitting right next to my girlfriend, and he's kind of like chatting it up with her, and like he's finding reasons to touch her. And I'm seeing this all touch her on the knee and everything. Yeah. So I'm seeing this all happen, and she's like trying to pull away from him as much as she can.
And this Hal guy again?
No, this is Steve.
Oh, Steve. Okay.
So I'm late because of Hal, who's roommates with Steve, and somehow Steve's sitting next to my girlfriend. And so I show up, and I get to the row, and I walk over to where she is, and he looks up at me like I'm nothing. I'm like, dude. He's mm-hmm. like, what? Your seat's down there. My girlfriend, asshole.
Wow. Johnny got mad.
He was like, oh, right. I'm sorry. And he gets up and he goes and takes the other seat that everyone's holding. Like she's just some random girl. Like he hadn't met her before.
He wasn't invited again ever, I hope, right?
No, we were still friends after that, because it was just his thing to like flirt with everyone's girlfriends and try to like get in there.
That's his thing. That's
not a
he's
good
a bad friend.
Friend.
He was a bad friend.
You should have cast him aside, man. That's like immediate vacate the premises plans right there. You're done.
He was struck by lightning once when he was a kid. So it was like everyone always gave him excuses. But anyhow, that happened.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care if he was struck down twice.
John, that's why I was late. I was struck by lightning. Is it okay now?
No, it's not. It's this. I'm not 20 years old anymore, kid.
Any other ones, Johnny?
That sweet, horrible kid that just like let that shit slide. No, that's the only one that I can think of was the worst.
I've got three. One, I don't even remember the movie. It was a Marvel movie. I know that. And my buddy, he shows up, and I normally don't invite him to movies because he's like, he always wants to make fun of everything. The fact that he's one of those guys that just knocks everything that happens in the movie. So he's really funny aside from that. But when it comes to movies, he's always that guy that has to knock everything about it. So I'm like, whatever. So I invite him to this Marvel movie, and he comes and sits down. And of course, I got to sit next to him, which I knew immediately was going to be a problem. It's maybe 5 minutes in, pulls his phone out, starts texting. Ugh. Now, I'm not talking like under the cover of darkness, you know, being all trying to be nonchalant, have it in his coat, trying to flip it open and makes – no. He's just whoosh, starts texting like that. And, I let it go once, twice it happens. I'm getting irritated. Third time, I'm like, hey, man. We're in a movie. Can you knock it off? I'm actually trying to watch the movie I just paid a fortune for. What, man? It's my girlfriend. It was his girlfriend. It's now wife at the time. I'm like, I don't care if it's your mom. Is she dying? No, she just – then I don't give a shit. Put your phone away. Hey, man. And he refused to do it. So I actually – this is a true story. He's sitting with us, and he won't stop using his phone. I went and got the manager on him.
Oh, my God.
And he's in my own group. And he's just like – dude, who does that? I'm like, guys who won't fucking listen to the fact that you're not supposed to have your phone on, man. It's a simple rule. And you just like do not care that you're pissing everybody else in the row off. I mean, because we had a big group, you know, for whatever the movie was. But nobody wanted to say anything because he was part of our group. I'm like, fuck that. So I went and got the manager, and the manager told him, stop using your phone. And then he finally stopped it. And I think he's maybe come to one movie since then. And he didn't use his phone during that movie. Yeah.
Technically, he learned his lesson.
I think he didn't sit anywhere near me either, though. I'm going to be on the end. Okay, you do what you got to do, man. Just keep your phone away. That's all.
I bet you he enjoyed that movie.
Oh, no, yeah. There's so many things were wrong with that movie. I'm like, yeah, you know what was wrong with it? The fact that you didn't watch any of it. That's what was wrong with it. Yeah, you know, she had some stuff. I don't care what she had going on, man. Unless she was dying, get out of the theater then and go handle your business. Ugh. The other one, I think I've talked about on the show, but Titanic, right? I don't know if people, you might not know the story. Okay, so my wife was not my wife at one time. And she was just a girl I pined after, so to speak. And she, you know, my wife's a very, very attractive woman. She's kind of like that. When you meet her, she's very shy, very quiet, but also very, very attractive. So she's kind of like the girl everybody, a lot of people didn't want to ask her out because she'll never go for a guy like me. She's one of those girls, right? But she's a very sweet person, a very good person. You know, she's not like that, but that's how people perceive things. When you're, you know, infatuated with somebody, that's how you perceive them. So I had my roommate. He looks like a goddamn Ken doll. And he, you know, we both would talk about her all the time. He knew I was like, I was near in love with her. We were friends as well. We were all friends. And so I told him, you know, it went on for forever. I wanted to ask her out, but I was too much of a chicken. And I'm just not that guy. Normally I'm the guy that'll just walk up and ask. And for whatever reason, I just couldn't. So I told him that I'm going to ask her out tomorrow, right? I was telling him, because we were roommates. I told him, I'm going to ask her out tomorrow. He's like, okay. And the next day, he asks her out. He beats me to it. That dick beats me to it and asks her out on a date. And she agrees.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, no. It gets worse. So they plan to see Titanic. But she's a very she comes from a very conservative family and stuff. And she's very – she wants to be comfortable in the environment. So she's like, I'll only go if it's a double date because, you know, I don't know you. I know you, but I don't know you well enough to go.
No. Yeah.
So he's like, hey – you know, her friend really kind of likes you. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't like her friend. I like her. I told you that. And that's why you asked her out, you son of a bitch. And he's like, yeah, but I mean, she really wants you to go because she likes you. And she wants to know if you'll go with her friend as like a double date. And I'm like, wait. You want me to go on a double date with the woman I wanted to ask out, but you beat me to it. And you want me to go on a double date with you on that very first? Yeah. So I did because that's just who I am. And it was the most nothing against. She was a very sweet person. You know, that obviously didn't work out. And then I took her on a date. So it worked out. And we went and saw Titanic. So it was pretty funny. Our first date was actually the movie that was our first date.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. That was a really bad movie date, though.
That's like a double dick move.
It was like a triple dick move. And then people ask, are you still friends? I'm like, yeah, I'm still friends. My daughter asks that all the time. Why would you still be friends with him? I'm like, because I won him. Duh.
That's good to say.
Now, if I lost, I probably don't want to talk to him anymore. But I came out ahead, so bam, suck it. Exactly. And then the other one was I borrowed my mom's car. It was the last one. Borrowed my mom's car, went to a drive-in, was on a date with this girl, and actually my buddy Lamont. So it was more like friends thing. And you parked up. You remember how you went to the drive-in and you put the speaker in your window?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we did that, and then we had to move because she didn't like our particular spot where I was. And I had just got my license, like literally just got my license. I was not a pro at driving or anything else, and told her, you know, make sure you take the speaker off and all that stuff, and she did not. So when I backed up, the speaker pulled the window and dropped the entire window into the door frame.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say that's her fault because I was driving. It's my fault.
Was it on the passenger side or on the driver's side?
It was on the passenger side, but it just made for a bad movie date, the whole thing. So
yeah?
Yep, didn't work out. Didn't work out.
That's rough.
Yep, that's rough. What are you going to do? All right, let's go to our flashback recommendations. We're on our Patreon episodes. We will recommend three little-known movie or TV shows that nobody talks about and tell you guys why you should see them. We used to do this on the actual podcast all the time, but we kind of pulled away from that, and we're only doing them on Patreon episodes now. So, Scott, what's your flashback this episode?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that we used to do this segment because the one I'm picking, I feel like, is one that we did way back in the day, but I watched it this week, and I wanted to talk about it. It's a Wes Craven movie, actually, by the name of Red Eye.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've seen
it. Oh, nice. Yeah.
And, I was on a plane this weekend, and it's probably not a good movie to watch on a plane, but it's kind of like watching, like, Titanic if you're on a cruise. But if you haven't seen this movie, it stars Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy, or Killian, however you want to pronounce his first name. I still am not certain, but Cillian? Okay.
It is Cillian.
And Rachel McAdams plays a woman who is held hostage by a stranger, played by Cillian Murphy, on a plane, who threatens to harm her father if she doesn't help him assassinate like a high politician or something like that. And this is a movie that the first time I saw years and years ago, I just picked it up off of the rental wall at like Blockbuster or Family Video, whatever. Didn't even read the back cover. Just saw the cover. I did that thing back in the day where I would just rent a movie just based on the cover without reading the back. And every once in a while I get surprised. And this is one of the ones that it was. This movie is very tense. It's one of those movies where the girl is doing everything that I feel like an actual person would do in that situation. She makes these really cool decisions and they don't pan out well for her in the first half of the movie, but you're like, this is what a real person would do. She doesn't make stupid mistakes and stupid decisions. And I just really appreciate that because I feel like in thrillers or horror movies, characters always make really bad choices. Alien Covenant. Yeah, Alien Covenant.
Yep, that would be Alien Covenant. Example. Yes, sir.
But she makes smart decisions through the entirety of this movie all the way to the end. And I just really appreciated that. And it was just a fun little thriller that was very, very tense all the way through. I really liked it. And I know you're a fan of it as well. You like Wes Craven a lot. So
I love Wes Craven. That's a really good movie. And Rachel McAdams, that was like the year where she kind of broke out too.
It was, yeah. Was that after The Notebook or before?
I think it was the same year as The Notebook, I think. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I might be.
She was great. And then Cillian Murphy he pulls off creepy so well because he's very charming when she first meets him. And so, you know, when I didn't know what was going on, I was like, I had no idea that this is where the movie was going. I was like, oh, she's going to meet this guy and fall in love with him. Nope. Mm-hmm. That was going to happen. So yeah,
it's a good thriller. The
only thing that bugs me is like, how does anybody else on the plane not know that there's something going on? Like,
well, people are oblivious, man. People just do not pay attention to other people. So it's possible.
It's a lot of people to not hear that conversation because they weren't like whispering.
Yeah,
you can't whisper, you know, when you're doing a movie. And I mean, at one point, he just straight up bonks her in the head with his forehead to knock her out. I'm sorry. Somebody's going to notice that. Yeah.
I always hate when they do that in movies. I think Jack Reacher, The Never Go Back, the sequel, just did that where Tom Cruise walks up to a guy sitting on the plane and does the same thing, knocks him unconscious, which A, is really, really hard to do, even if you're trained, to knock someone actually unconscious. But two, there's no way nobody saw that. So whenever that happens in a movie, I'm just like, what, whatever.
What happens if you don't get it on the first try? That's like a pretty big gamble.
That's when a fight breaks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you guys fighting? Oh, because he didn't go down the first time. Oh, all right.
Oh, all right. Play on.
That's a good pick. John, what about you?
You know, for this group, this probably might not be considered little known, but I've been in very much in summer mode, which means that I really just want something on TV that makes me happy, makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm in a place where I belong. So I've been watching Psych again.
Yeah, it's really not a flashback, but that's cool. Go ahead.
But like I said, to this group, not so much a flashback. But, you know, I recommend people should watch more Psych. Get ready for the movie coming out at the end of the year.
What is this Psych you speak about? What's that show?
Bitch, you need to watch it. So.
I hear angels again. That's good. You know what I'm going to recommend? And I think it's still on Netflix. I can't remember. But I watched it every summer because it's just one of those movies that makes me feel like a good neighbor. Mm-hmm. And not like State Farm, like a real good neighbor. And that's The Burbs with Tom Hanks.
Oh, the movie's so good.
It's so good. But I talked to so many people that have never even heard of it. They haven't seen it. Carrie Fisher's in it too. Corey Feldman. I mean, it's from the late 80s. I think it's like 89 or something.
Yeah.
Sounds and, right. But basically what it is Tom Hanks is a neighbor and he's on vacation. And him and his kooky neighbor next door, they start to think that the Klopaks are murderers. I think I said that name right. Basically, a family across the street that they're actually killing people. And a lot of it comes from they just little things that they see that you would see any neighbor doing or just weird things that they're doing. And they really play it up quite a bit. It's really funny. It goes into how paranoid neighbors are and how much we're watching other people when we shouldn't be. And how much we should just be, you know what, just mind your own damn business. And also, this is when Tom Hanks was really funny. Like, this was the era where it wasn't, I'm going for an Oscar or I'm not Captain Phillips. You know, this is Tom Hanks at his most comedic, and it's hysterical. And it's just a movie everybody should check out if you've never seen it, The Burbs.
I think that might be my favorite comedy that he did. Well, no, Big is probably my favorite, but this one is a close second.
That's so good. Just so good. All right, now it's a bit where we let Sam Jackson the shit out of this movie. This is a fun bit where we each take a monologue from any movie, and we update it. And I guess I said family movie, but it can be any movie. And we update it with how Samuel L. Jackson would deliver it. Scott, you can go first.
Well, mine's definitely not a family movie, but I went with 1976's Network. Peter Finch plays Howard Beale. If you guys haven't seen this movie, I highly recommend it, first off. It's very interesting, somewhat prophetic, maybe. Mm. But there's a scene in the movie, the infamous scene from the movie, where he's on television and he goes off on this rant. So I went with this scene. You guys are familiar, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to deliver it first?
And then okay. Sam Jackson version.
All right, I'm going to do it my very best. I know Peter Finch because the scene is awesome, but I'm going to do my best. So here's his broadcast that he did on live television in this movie. He goes, "We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller. And all we say is, please at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radials, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you what to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the streets. All I know is, at first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, goddammit. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it. And stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. All right.
Well done, Esquire.
Thank you. That's awesome. That was, I don't think we need the Sam Jackson part, but okay, it's ready.
So here's how Sam Jackson would deliver that monologue. And that's actually a small part of it, but I didn't want to go on for too long. So here's how Sam Jackson would do that scene. Look, we all know shit's fucked up. Cats and dogs living together and all that shit. But the question is this, what are you going to do about it? Don't run out in the streets like a bitch and raise hell. Instead, I want you to get you a fat ass out of that crusty beanbag you call a chair, go to the window and yell this. Now I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
I just went to a weird place.
You motherfucker.
Johnny, your turn, John.
My turn. All right. So from Ariel and the Little Mermaid started off a song like this. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's its and what's its galore. You want thingamabobs? I've got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. So Sam Jackson. I've got gadgets and gizmos and bullshits aplenty. I've got who's it and fucking what's it galore. You want thingamabobs? Bitch, I got 20. But who gives a shit? That ain't no thing. I want more motherfucking shit in this motherfucking cave.
Ariel got so angry.
Yeah. God. I want to see that version.
I couldn't find a good family movie, so I did go with a different movie. But I went with John Doe's portion of his rant from Seven. That's Kevin Spacey. And I'm not going to try and be as good as Kevin Spacey, but I will just say it as I believe it is said. A woman, so ugly on the inside that she couldn't bear to go on living if she couldn't be beautiful on the outside. A drug dealer. A drug-dealing pederast, actually. And let's not forget the disease-spreading whore. Only in a world this shitty could you try to even try to say that these are innocent people and keep a straight face. But that's the point. We see a deadly sin on every street corner and every home, and we tolerate it. We tolerate it because it's common. It's trivial. We tolerate it morning, noon, and night. Well, not anymore. I'm setting the example. What I've done is going to be puzzled over and studied and followed forever. That's how Kevin Spacey said it. How Sam Jackson would say it. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
I want to talk about TV, not just television in general, but shows that haven't worked for us. We always talk about shows that we really like, but we want to talk about shows that have not worked. We've tried them. Friends or family might have even recommended them. We wanted to like them, but we just don't. So First up, have there been many shows like this where everyone raved about it? You try it, you just don't get what the hell they see in it.
Oh, absolutely. I've got three perfectly good examples, which is number one, Big Bang Theory. What happened with Big Bang Theory too is that I've had friends who love this show who come up to me like, this show is so you. Okay, why is it so me? Well, there's a guy who doesn't like the people sitting in his spot. Okay. Well, they all play paintball. All right. And they all do all this other stuff. Okay. And then I watch the show. The guy who doesn't like anyone in their spot, which everyone keeps saying is me, is an asshole. I'm not one of these guys. I don't get where they say I am. But anyhow, yeah. Big Bang Theory is one of them that didn't work.
Aaron and I are giving each other a knowing look.
Can I just say that you ever see Justified? I mean, if you see an asshole in the morning, you probably met an asshole. But if you see assholes all day, you're probably the asshole.
Yeah.
Devil's advocate. That's all, brother.
I think that's why he doesn't like it. It just
reminds him of that truth.
Right. Too close to home, right?
Right.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's just a bunch of people being assholes to each other. Yeah. I don't dig it.
I'm kind
of
with you on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, too. I don't like it. I've tried. I just can't get it. What are you, an improv comedy? All right. When do you get funny?
It feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like it's doing what the league did, but doesn't work quite as well.
Mm-hmm. No, the big draw, like a lot of people say the big draw is Danny DeVito's character on there. He's just a mental patient. What's the point? I don't get it. And then Rick and Morty. I know too many people who love Rick and Morty, and I watch it and I'm like, well, you're just a ripoff of all the other cartoons I've seen before.
I've not watched that. Everyone keeps telling me I have to watch it, and I'm afraid to. I don't know. Nothing about that animation appeals to me at all.
I've watched one episode and it was funny, and I'm good.
Oh, yeah?
Well, because I went backpacking with my buddy Rob, and he's a huge fan of that. Mm-hmm. So he's like, hey, you gotta watch Rick and Morty. I'm like, do I, though? Do I really? He's like, yeah, you do, because we're stuck in a cabin together. It's just you and I, and there's nothing else. So either you do it, or I've got a feeling banjo music's going to start playing. So I'm like, all right.
It's either this or you have to feel like Whiskers are like, so.
Exactly. Oh, Jesus. So Whiskers? That took me a second. So I watched it, and I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty funny. There's a lot of clever stuff in there, but I didn't see any reason to ever watch it again. It's not something I needed to see like every week or.
Is it because it's animated or like if it
yeah,
were?
Yeah, I'm not a big animated. I mean, yeah. I don't dislike animation. I prefer a movie over weekly. Like I could never get into The Simpsons because I don't want to see it every week. You know, I can't get into American Dad and all that stuff. You know, I can watch it like Family Guy. I think it's funny when it's on, and it has great Michael J. Fox jokes. I mean, some really great and totally mean Michael J. Fox jokes. I love the humor of this stuff. I just don't know if I want to watch it every week. I would rather spend my time watching something where I feel like I'm getting something more out of it.
Where does that show even air? I don't even – is that an online streaming show, or is it on TV or Hulu?
Which one?
Or
Rick and Morty?
Rick and Morty, yeah.
John?
Cartoon Network, I thought.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't remember where I saw it.
Which is interesting because that's not a kid's show by any means, right?
Well, Cartoon Network's barely for kids.
It feels like it. Like,
yeah, I mean, it gets a lot of play because of Dan Harmon is behind it, and he did Community, so he's like a cult sensation. That's why.
But my students love it, which is weird.
They should not be watching it.
I know, and I did. They're talking about Rick and Morty, and they're playing their Rick and Morty games on their phones and stuff. And I'm like, I don't think that's a kids show, guys. And they're like, I watched it. It's great.
We're not watching.
This parent's not paying attention again.
If it's cartoon,
what is that cartoon? You can watch cartoon. You're all right.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you say
that? What is that, anime? You're all right with anime.
John said, like, caveman. Why cartoon? Why you watch cartoon?
Why cartoon? Wear fire.
I never get tired of that one. I never get tired of that one.
Oh, my God.
So my answer to that question is all the time. It happens to me all the time. I mean, I wasn't going to throw out three specific shows. I'm just saying it happens to me all the time where I get friends that recommend shows. And, hey, I appreciate the recommendations, but there are so many TV shows out there. There's no way I'm going to enjoy all of them. There's just no way. And sometimes it'll be a gem. Like people have been recommending Shooter, and I checked it out, and I'm reluctantly watched it, and I actually really dig it. I think it's a cool show. Then there's stuff like Leftovers. That's my prime example. Because my buddy Troy, now Scott, you're a big fan of it, and you said, hey, you should check it out. But you're not, I mean, Troy has stopped trying to force me to watch it. And he keeps comparing Game of Thrones to it for absolutely no reason.
Well, and
whatsoever.
The problem with that is when you recommend a show that much to where you're getting annoying, you're having the opposite effect on the person.
Absolutely.
You're just making them not want to watch it even anymore.
Absolutely. But I want to be fair, you know, because you've talked about it. My friend Wayne's talked about it. Troy's talked about it incessantly. You know, a lot of people have talked about it. So I'm like, well, there's got to be something there. But, you know, I originally watched the pilot. I couldn't get into it. Like I told you, Scott, there's just nobody I like in the show. And I don't have to have likable characters, but I got to have somebody I'm into their story or I have a hard time moving on.
That's so interesting because I found so many characters just fascinating in that show.
I didn't like anybody. And then on vacation, I'm like, all right, I'll give it another shot. So I watched two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Two once, more or started over?
No, I started over because I hadn't seen it in so long, so mm-hmm. I couldn't remember it. So I watched the first two, and I'm like, man, I still don't like anybody. And I want to like it because I've heard the character dynamics are really great and their arcs are really interesting. And once again, nothing. So, you know, I'm talking to Troy, and of course Troy's like, well, you got to get to episode 3. I'm like, you say that every time. If I get to 3 and I don't click, then he's like, well, you got to get to 5. I mean, he's like that. He's luring me into the van. He's like, I got a little bit more candy here, kid. I got a little bit more candy here, kid. Bam, door shut, and I'm stuck with the show. So things like that, I've been a victim of those far too many times. And there's been a lot of shows that people have told me are fantastic.
Yeah, but the nice thing about a TV show is that you don't have to watch the whole thing. I mean, exactly. something like Leftovers, there is a mystery behind it. And you kind of want to see, that's kind of the draw for me to see where it's going to go and what this means and all that. And you get a lot of that answered for the most part in that show. But if you don't care, then you don't have to watch it. I mean, I feel like with a movie, I can't tell you the last time I watched, except for that King Arthur thing I just did recently. I can't tell you the last time I watched a movie and just gave up on it. I always just wind up seeing it through to its completion because it's just 2 hours. But with a TV show, just forget it. It's you know.
Well, that's the thing. If people love it or they're a big fan of it, they don't seem to ever want to accept that you didn't enjoy it as much. And, and they don't get, hey, you didn't like it. You didn't like it. I mean, go watch something else. There's plenty of stuff to watch. But people take it to heart. Like, You're insulting their taste by not enjoying. Hey, man, everything isn't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's and sometimes I think your critically loved show is garbage.
Right,
it happens. I mean, people have different tastes. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I have this mentality when someone recommends me a show, I automatically have it in a positive light. It's like a weird thing about me that I'm going into it very, very optimistic. And because I want so badly to share in that joy that they're talking, that they're expressing mm-hmm. to me, I go in trying so hard to like it. And I think because of that, there's only been rare instances where a show has been recommended and I just didn't get it, or it just didn't click with me for whatever reason. And I just don't bring it up to them because I don't want to have that, you know, I've been in that situation where I've recommended something and they just didn't like it. And I felt bad mm-hmm. for recommending it to somebody. So
did you really? You felt bad?
Well, I do. I mean,
you feel like you wasted their time.
I feel like I wasted their time, and it makes me feel like I don't know that person as well as I thought I did. Does that make sense? Like,
that's putting an awful lot of thought into it.
Well, but that's really the way I think is I want to be that person that knows a show that's going to work with somebody else. And when I fail at that, I feel really bad. So when someone recommends something to me and I don't like it, I don't want to go back to them and be like, man, that show sucked.
That's fair.
I've reached a point in my life where people start recommending shows to me and I automatically start just cringing to the idea of picking up a new show. So it's just, you know, somebody wants me to watch a show. Well, that's great. How am I going to fit this into my life? You know, I get like that about it now because I also don't like, I've gotten to a point where I stop recommending things. People ask, you know, if people ask me what I'm watching, I tell them what I'm watching, but I won't push a lot of things on my friends anymore.
I like to, but I just feel like nobody ever takes my recommendations hardly ever because I probably talk it up too much and oversell it. They're like, oh, it can't be that good.
I tell you, I still want to watch Shameless. It's just a matter of it. I don't know how many seasons it is.
I don't mean you. I mean, outside of this circle, because the three of us and some of our listeners and stuff, that's different. We're like a, mm-hmm. you know, I'm talking about like my friends that don't listen to the show or that I, you know. I talked up House of Cards way too much to a buddy of mine to the point where he was getting annoyed if I ever brought it up. And I try not to do that anymore because I don't want to oversell it. You know, that's a perfect example of
a
show.
Are you listening, Troy? Are you listening, Troy?
That's a perfect example of a show that I shouldn't like. You know me, I hate politics.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Just can't stand it. I just hate the how the system works. I hate anything that's controversial. And I loved that show. And I think that's why I tried to sell it so hard is because, guys, if I hate politics and I like this show, that's saying something. But I, as much as I recommended, I couldn't get anybody to watch it because, oh, well.
People are dumb. Yeah. That's why. People are dumb.
So I want to know, do you guys ever wonder if your friends even pay attention to you? I mean, that's kind of what we're going on here. But I mean.
Yeah, what a perfect segue.
I do. Yes and no. Here's the thing is, like, I was bagging on Troy as because he's trying to force me into a relationship. And the truth is, I mean, he does. We have very similar taste on a lot of stuff. So I get, you know, in his mind, he's saying, look, I know you're going to like it. You just got to get to a certain point and then it's going to click for you. You know, he just doesn't, he's like Ike Turner. That's all. It's just, you know,
hit me again. Ike.
Yeah, stop hitting me.
Put some stank on it.
I think my friends get me. Sometimes I wonder, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when people were trying to sell me on that one, so diehard. And I'm just like,
I was just going to say that. At least it's not like second season you got to get to.
Oh my God. I just, you obviously don't know me if you think that I should suffer through more than one season of a show I obviously didn't like. It did not click for me. So if you think that one more season is going to change my mind, you don't know me because that's not going to happen.
I don't understand how people do that. If even they say, oh, the first season sucks, but that second season, how did you get to that point?
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes people stick with things because they don't have anything better to do with their time. And one of the reasons why I stuck through the first season is I've talked about my buddy Hal. There's one night a week I hang out with my buddy Hal and we watch 2 to 3 episodes of different TV shows in that night. We just have a nice TV night. We hang out. You know, and if it wasn't for the fact that I was hanging out with Hal, I would probably not have stuck with the show. I was getting so annoyed with it.
Hmm.
I was just trying to be fair. I mean, it's Marvel. I like Marvel. I really like Agent. I like Clark Gregg in that role as Coulson. You know, I like that idea. I was really waiting for it to click. I felt like there were so many different ways. And actually, it's one of the ones I'm going to talk about in a minute. But it just didn't work. And it was trying too hard. It constantly felt like it was trying too hard. Didn't know what it wanted to be. And I'll give you a few episodes. I'll give you a season, whatever I give you. If you ain't done it by then, bye. You know, I'm not bye, worried Felicia. About it, but people constantly want to tell you, well, you're missing out. I am not. I promise you. I am fine.
There's plenty of other.
My heart will go on, Jack. I promise.
You're never going to let go? No, you did let go.
There's just no way.
I don't know. I feel like with as long as we've been doing this and the recommendations I've made and the recommendations that people have given to me, like ones that I thought were home runs and then they weren't, I've just come to the realization that as good as a show may be for me, it may not have the same effect on somebody else. And I've just accepted that some shows are going to click for me, some shows are going to click for them, and there's going to be some Venn diagram overlap at some point, but it's not going to happen as often as we like it. And I've just accepted that, and it's made it a lot easier.
Look at you.
I learned a long time ago, my friends just don't listen to me. They don't. That when they found out I was on the podcast now, they're like, why?
Wow.
There's two losers on that. Why do you want to talk with them every week?
You know, with the exception of Steve and Amy, the rest of my friends don't even listen to this. I'm on a podcast now. That's sweet. Do you wear a helmet? No. Okay, I don't care.
Wear a helmet?
Yeah, it's anyhow.
No, they don't care. You can't make an obscure reference like that and not explain it.
Like I said earlier, I reached a point where instead of telling anyone what they should watch, I just say, this is what I'm watching. This is what I enjoy. Have a nice, do whatever you want with that information.
And then if they ask for recommendations, you give them, but you don't like seek them out, or do you even do that?
No, even if they ask for recommendations, it's like, look, I don't even know what you like anymore. So this is what I like. I have a lot of fun with it. You let me know if it turns out you had a good time with it.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
There you go. So go ahead. Let's go ahead and get going here and talk about the three shows that we just didn't click for us. You know, those shows that you wanted to like, but didn't. And how you would change them to make them work. What do you guys think?
How do you want to do it? Like 3, 2, 1, like Ron Robin or?
No, let's just go. Just give your three. I think there's going to be very little overlap here, I would imagine. John, let's start with you.
The House of Cards.
Oh,
Courtney's cool. Watching it. She's loving every single bit of it. And every time I watch it, I start having this internal cringe feeling to it. So if we want to make that better, how about some cartoon characters running around doing stuff?
Now, is it that it's politics, or is it, do you not like Kevin Spacey's role, or do you, what is it about that show that bothers you?
You know what? From the bits I've seen walking through the room, everybody's fantastic. Kevin Spacey's amazing. Robin Wright looks great in every single dress. She looks awesome and fierce. Everybody seems like they're acting their asses off, and it looks like an amazing show. But the internal cringe feeling is that I've reached a point lately where I don't want to deal with anything that feels like people being shitty to each other. Mm. And that's where I get from. It's not really the politics. It's like, I'm just tired of watching assholes on TV.
So that mean you're going to give up on Game of Thrones?
That's different. I'm already invested.
No, I get that, actually.
You don't want new assholes.
I don't want new assholes. I'm fine with the same old-fashioned assholes I've been playing around with. I don't want any more new assholes.
So you want to make it a cartoon to make it more interesting?
Yeah, why not? Make it a cartoon.
Okay.
That's an odd way to go, but hey, it's your right. Pitch. What are your other two?
Mr. Robot, how about not making him a mental patient?
Oh, that's exactly why it's amazing. It's, hey, there are no bad shows. There's just shows that aren't for you.
And then my last one is Handmaid's Tale. I want some more dance routines and jokes in that.
Oh, man.
I need to watch that show.
That show's fantastic. He's crazy.
I need someone to give me their Hulu sign in so I can watch that.
You can use mine. You can use mine.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. Say no more.
Yeah. What about you, Aaron?
You can use it. It is a show I can't watch. I have to watch it every once in a while. I can't watch it and binge watch it.
Oh, really?
It's really dire. Yeah. I mean, it's when he says jokes and dance routines, he means because you want to cry when it's over. Oh. And not in a heartfelt cry, like, oh, my God, I can't believe the misery in this show. I mean, it's just so horrible. And then you think it could happen.
Oh, mm-hmm. Hits a little close to home.
Well, it feels like someone that would never happen until you sit down and you're like, wait a minute.
It's kind of starting to.
I guess it could happen. Yeah, I guess it could happen. My three, first one, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I watched the entire season before I said go to hell. But I did give it an entire season because everybody's like, well, you guys get to the end of it. And well, I got to the end of it and I wanted to curse.
You
got to
give it three seasons, Aaron.
It seems like the way to go. It's a lot of TV to suffer through, man. And I do say suffer. Every episode, I'm like, God, are you going to get anywhere interesting ever? I just felt
the fact that it gets interesting after Captain America was the annoying part of it. That was aggravating.
If that's what you say, I didn't see that. But what I would do, I would turn back the clock. I would make it more Marvel's version of the X-Files to a degree.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Big conspiracy. I mean, Hydra is already there, so I don't know why you wouldn't have played with that from the beginning. You know, they knew Hydra was coming. They should have played with it more in the show before Captain America Winter Soldier. And it kind of, you know, it wraps around the entire story. It's more the mythology, but each week they would investigate a possible superhero shenanigans and maybe work to identify some new heroes. There's different ways they could do the individual cases, but also have Hydra as a backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have been the way to go, my opinion.
I like it.
Second one's Fear the Walking Dead.
I haven't even bothered.
I love Walking Dead, but Fear of the Walking Dead is like sitting through Ray Charles taking a driving test. It is awful.
I didn't even know people liked that show. I feel like everybody's been negative on it.
Yeah, people actually dig it, and they've been really start. I was just at my barber. My barber was telling me how much he loves that show.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. Well, the first season wasn't that good, but the second, you know what? I gave it the first season. You ain't getting more out of me. You got one shot. You don't miss your chance to blow, and you did. So piss off. I don't want nothing to do with you. But I would have liked something different. I feel like it just gave me more of the same with characters that aren't interesting. Like the characters just sucked. You got Johnny Depp wannabe. You got the girl from the 100 that should go back to the 100 because she was great on that show. And then a bunch of people I don't care about. I want something different. I would want like a paradise where the apocalypse, you kind of, the show would start and the apocalypse is coming. And they know about it, but it hasn't quite reached them yet because they're on an island, so they're isolated. So it hasn't hit them yet. So they know about it, and they fear the Walking Dead.
That's interesting, actually. I didn't know that's how it started.
No, I'm saying that's how I would do it.
They didn't
do it. They did it a non-interesting way.
Oh, okay.
This would be more interesting.
That is interesting.
See, I got Scott's buy-in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Call me AMC. Mm-hmm. And then I think the series would deal with a lot of potential threats that they would get away from. They would find a way to resolve in some way. But at the very end of the first season, like the finale, the very first zombie appears somewhere on the island. Mm. That's how I would do it. So it'd be more about fear what's coming as opposed to, you know, just, oh, great, we're in the apocalypse yet again.
And that makes sense for the title of the show, and it's interesting. I like it. I want to do that, yeah.
Woohoo! I got a winner.
Yeah, what's your last one?
Leftovers. It's Leftovers. Look, Scott, like I said, Scott, Wayne, Troy, you guys love the show, and I keep trying, but I can't find characters I like. So change the show by giving me a reason to enjoy it. I think character dramas often suffer from the belief that tough situations can't have moments of levity, and I disagree with that. You have to have moments of levity. I think tiny morsels of that make it more relatable for me.
Mm-hmm.
Awful characters can be likable. I just felt like in two episodes that I watched, I couldn't get behind anybody. So what I would do is I would just tweak it. Just make the characters, give me one character that I can follow and enjoy. Justin Theroux, I just didn't care about. I don't care about anything else going on, but I want to like the show. Everybody keeps raving about it. I want to like it. I just haven't seen it yet. And, you know, I promised Troy I'd get through more of it, but right now it's killing me, Smalls. It really is.
How many episodes in are you?
I can only make it two before I just want to jump out a window. Yeah.
I'll be curious to see if you stick with it and what you think, because that show gets crazy.
Well, Troy's like, you gotta finish the first season. I'm like, yeah, I'll give you one more, pal. All right.
See, I was into that one right from the get go. So I don't understand the wait till episode three or season two, whatever. I mean, there's only three seasons.
That's what it needs, Gordon Gekko. That would help from Wall Street.
Wall Street. What? All right, I'm going to make some enemies with my first pick, and that's Doctor Who.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh. I have tried.
You son of a bitch.
Doctor Who on paper looks like a show that would be just for me. Like, it seems like it's one that's made for me. Every time I've tried to get into it, I tried watching it on my own. I didn't go back to the 60s version. Is it 60s?
I think 70s? So. It's definitely 60s. Yes. It might be 50s.
I didn't go back that far. I decided I'm going to start with a new series. And I think that was part of the reason it didn't work for me, because they start that series as if you've already watched all of the others. There's no...
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
That first episode, man, they're just running around and talking to each other like they've known each other for years. And there's no explanation what the sonic screwdriver is, the TARDIS, or anything. I had no clue what was going on. I felt like I was dumped in the middle of a season.
I'm with Scott 100%. I did the same thing. I had never watched it. And I watched it with Rob while he had me holed up in a cabin. And it was the...
Either that or Whiskers again.
The very first one with Peter Capaldi. Is that his name?
I don't remember.
And
well, no, that's not. Yeah, you're still not talking about the first episode of the current generation of the series. You're not even talking about that. The very first episode of this current generation is with Eccleston as the Doctor.
Well, I think that's what his point is. It's like, I don't want to start way back there. I want to start with the current version, the current Doctor.
I started with whatever the first episode available on Netflix was.
Okay.
That's what I did. I don't know. I don't know the timeline. I don't know which doctor it was.
Well,
I didn't.
Obviously, you're a crime against humanity for not knowing that.
Well, but I've genuinely tried to do it. And I did watch one episode that someone highly recommended and said, you just got to watch this one episode. And they were kind of explaining how the TARDIS and everything worked through it. It was the Vincent Van Gogh episode. They said, you got to watch this one. And I watched it and I did enjoy it. It was it was an interesting story, but I wasn't connected to the Doctor or anything because I hadn't watched all of the previous seasons and everything. So if you were going to fix this, I would go back and start it to give new people some idea of what's going on with some kind of origin story. I understand that we complain about movies and TV shows that just do the origin story too often and too many times, but you know, this show is what, 12 seasons or something at this point. I don't even know how many, but
a lot.
A lot.
You know, I need to know what's going on. I don't understand who the Doctor is. I don't understand why a screwdriver is a thing. Why is it a phone booth? And I'm not knocking it. I just don't understand it. And when you're that many seasons into it, I'm not going to start all the way back to season one. I need a breaking point at some point.
Well, and I think there's a disconnect here. Are you thinking season one is way back into Peter Cushing season one, or
I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
That's like 1960s.
Here's the thing: he shouldn't have to go back anywhere. He should be able to start with the current iteration, the newest Doctor from episode one of that, and be able to understand what's going on. But they don't do that, right. So it's their fault, not his.
Wait, Peter Cushing, the Star Wars guy?
Yeah.
Holy cow! I didn't know he was a doctor.
Yeah,
I might actually be wrong about that. I'm confusing him with somebody else, but they look like the nearly interchangeable. No, okay. So I actually disagree with that, because if you're going to jump in the middle of a series, which this current series actually really starts with Christopher Eccleston as the Doctor, they do a lot of that explanation through the first two seasons of what's going on and what's what through the first two seasons, which is the one season with Christopher Eccleston and the one season with the next season with David Tennant. So they do a lot of the explanation because they have a brand new girl playing the companion, and she's basically the audience for figuring out what's what and why things are the way they are. So
I didn't watch that season then, because the girl that was the companion in the episode I watched was all in, had no, like, she was, I seriously felt like I was dropped in the middle of a season. So
you were definitely dropped in the middle of a season. The first one's Christopher Eccleston, and he's actually my favorite Doctor, but that's besides the point.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I watched the very first one Peter Capaldi did, and I don't care anymore. If you can't look, you're introducing a whole new guy. So basically, to me, that means you should at least give a brief explanation of how all this works for people that might be giving it a try for the first time.
Well, to be fair, they do that every season, right?
I mean, no, they didn't. I watched the very first episode.
No, I mean, whenever they introduce a new, they always have a new Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Well, every season, but every couple of seasons.
Couple of seasons. So that should be a perfect opportunity to initiate a new viewer. And they don't. I think they do a horrible job with it.
At least when they went from the old series to the new series.
You know what I'm saying? They did. Went from the old series to the new series, they did it re-explain everything.
Then I missed that.
They did a little retconning.
Okay. Well, I missed that, so I'll cautiously, I don't know what I'll do, but I don't know if I'm ever going to go back to it, because it seems like a show I should like. I just was lost. I don't like feeling lost in a show in a first episode. I want to have some story, and I just
want to wait until the finale.
Yeah.
Of Lost.
My second show is Arrow. I really loved how that show started. Mm-hmm. I loved the mystery behind it, and I finished the first season. And by the time that second season rolled around, I just stopped caring. I don't know. There was no more intrigue with the mystery of whatever happened. Something was lost. It started feeling like Monster of the Week type stuff to me. It just didn't work for me. Everyone just raves about it. My brother-in-law told me it's like the best show on television or something. And I'm like,
what?
Well, it's not that.
I don't know. If I were going to change it, I want it to be more comic book hero and less WB. I feel like there's all this like relationship drama that I just didn't care about. So
you're right about that.
That's my second one. And my last one is an older show, but the show that everybody talks about is like, it's like one of the best finales, and everyone just loves how funny this show is MASH. I have never understood the appeal of MASH. It was actually on TV on the background, and I was just like, I don't understand why this is funny. It's the canned laughter feels like the most fake canned laughter I've ever seen in a comedy. And to be fair, I feel like this is a show that when I was a kid was always on right after whatever show I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it was always on after whatever show you were watching.
It was on all the time. And that helicopter scene came in. I'm like, oh, it's time to turn off the TV now because MASH is on and I don't care about that. And
you are a monster.
And I also feel like that's a show that, as a kid, it felt like a show that you could only appreciate if you had been in a war. I'm not saying that's true, because obviously a lot of people liked it that weren't in the armed services or anything, but that's what it felt like as a kid. Like, oh, this show's not for me because I'm not old enough to be in the war and I don't know anything about the Korean War and all this. So it just never interested me. I couldn't tell you what to do to change that show. It's one that I maybe need to give another chance at some point, but I just hear people rave about that show and nothing ever clicked with me at all. I never laughed once in a single episode I watched. I just don't get it. So those are my three.
I love MASH. I love them. I love both the TV show and the movie. It's a pretty great show.
Bad Movie Night. This is the Hollywood Outsider special bonus episode for Patreon subscribers only. Thank you so much for your contributions. And for that, we suffered through White Chicks. So we're going to talk solely about White Chicks, not the actual people, white females. We're actually going to talk about the movie starring Sean and Marlon Wayans. Scott, what the hell is White Chicks about? And would you call it a bad movie?
Oh, absolutely call it a bad movie. And we had fun with Zombievers last month, and I was really excited to watch that movie. Not so much this one. I had actually seen it before back when it originally released, and I was not looking forward to rewatching it. But I did it because I apparently love you guys. But White Chicks is about two FBI agents by the name of Kevin and Marcus. At the beginning of the movie, they failed an undercover job that they were working on, and they're basically disgraced by the rest of the FBI. So they're given this job to escort two white girls to the Hamptons. These two, what would you call them, spoiled rich girls?
Yeah, Paris Hilton-ish type.
Right. Yeah. And things go wrong. They're in a car accident, and they get the girl. One girl gets like a little cut on her nose, and one gets a little cut on her lip, and they have bitch fits, as they they say in the movie.
Oh my God, I'm gonna have a BF.
So the best course of action is to make these two girls hang out in some house by themselves while Kevin and Marcus, do we call it whiteface? What do we call it?
Yeah, I would just go with it. It's whiteface, yeah.
Dress up like these two socialites and go undercover as the girls, whose names are Brittany and Tiffany, and along the way uncover an abduction case and quote-unquote hilarity ensues. I say that in air quotes. And that's the basic premise of this movie. So you've got these two guys dressed up like white girls trying to interact with their friends and trying not to let everybody know that they're actually guys. And it doesn't make any sense. It is a ridiculous plot. I don't understand how anybody in their right mind believe that these two guys are actually white women. But they do so in glorious fashion.
And hot white women, by the way. Like, they're supposed to be attractive white women, and people buy them as that.
Not even like flinch at it. There's no question. There's literally scenes where
there are all four of them on the screen at the same time, and everyone's can't tell them apart.
Correct.
Right?
It just makes absolute zero sense to me. This movie is uncomfortable, guys. Genuinely uncomfortable.
Like uncomfortable as a man or as a moviegoer? Like, did you sit there going,
both?
I don't feel right. I don't know which way I feel about this. Were you turned on?
No. I was not even the least bit aroused.
Were you sniffing random panties and
hoping
they were?
Oh my goodness!
What was the point of that? Why?
By the way, that scene, the guy wasn't even at all creeped out by the fact that his partner was sniffing panties.
Right.
He was only creeped out because they were actually guys. I'm sniffing panties, dude. Like his reaction was going to be
like, that's normal.
Oh, okay. That's it. You're just sniffing the girl's panties that we're investigating.
Right,
because that'd be okay.
Do you guys even buy? Let's get into this. Do you guys even buy into the premise of the entire movie?
You know, at first I had some high hopes for this because when you first see the Wayans brothers, they're the bodega owners, and I totally bought them as the bodega owners. It took me a second to realize that was them under the costumes, and And it was hysterical. It was actually funny to see them pull off those characters. Like one character, the only way he spoke, his idea of speaking Spanish was to sing Latin songs or reenact Tony Montana scenes. You know, and I was like, okay, that's kind of brilliant. And I was hopeful that everything I saw from the trailers and all that was not going to be as bad because that scene was so good, but it came off the rails entirely, especially when you put them next to Maitland Ward and Nan Dudek. You can't do that. You can't have them in the same room together, all dressed up as girls. It doesn't work. I'm not supposed to get uncanny valley from living people.
That was a random pull. Nice job.
And was it disturbing when they actually talked in their regular voices? Like it was like a Halloween costume. Like it was a legitimately scary thing seeing them just get all, I don't know, aggressive and
everything. Oh, like when they totally forgot that they were wearing women's clothes and wearing fake faces. Like they're like they got so comfortable inside the costumes that all of a sudden they're like, "What? Yeah, I'll kick your ass. It's all right. I got it. Here, hold my poodle. I got it." What? That's not gonna work.
No, and no, everybody's still. Oh, that's just them. They're just high on estrogen. Huh, what? Oh, that's not normal. And that's weird. And you should be concerned that your friend suddenly has a deep baritone voice.
Right.
And nobody questions it. They just keep walking.
Nobody questions it the whole movie. There's not one scene that I could find, and I watched it twice. There's not one scene that I can find where anyone.
Why did you watch it twice?
Because I fell asleep.
I watched it 1.5 times. Yeah. I started watching it again last night, and at one point I said, no, I can't. I can't.
You can no longer give me a hard time about watching Matrix Revolutions if you watch this movie twice.
Well, it was homework.
I'm thorough. Yeah, I'm thorough. Plus, I did fall asleep near the end, so I'm like, well, I gotta start over. And I just started over from pretty much the beginning. I'm like, I'll just put it on as background noise while I work on my laptop. And I ended up paying attention to it and then realized I should be ashamed for watching it twice, especially so soon. Like, you need distance with this movie. You cannot watch this movie back to back. You just can't. One day and then the next day. It's not good for your soul. I was legitimately irritated that nobody questions anything throughout the entire movie. There's not some point where they're getting a drink and somebody's like, I look like a dude. No point. They're completely by the entire time that these are hot, attractive, blonde hair, blue eyed women. And there's nothing about them that looks remotely unscary. They look terrifying.
There was like moments where someone said, wow, look how tall they've gotten. You got taller. What?
I'll still do it.
I'd still do it.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I guarantee you I wouldn't. I would call the police because something is wrong. Maybe not in this day and age because there's PC, you know, political correctness everywhere. But I would nudge Scott and I'd be like, Scott, that's totally a dude, right? Am I wrong?
And we've had that conversation when they were actually women.
They're not attractive. There's nothing about it. If they would have had one scene, like where the cops, these are supposed to be the people that protect
FBI
us.
FBI agents.
Yes. And number one, he threatens to send them to Iraq. They don't send the FBI to Iraq. The FBI are centralized in America. CIA go to Iraq, you dumbass. So that part, I just couldn't take seriously. I feel like they didn't do their proper research. But these guys are with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and at no point do they question the fact that they obviously have Adam's apples, and they obviously don't look like women. I don't understand.
And their skin color keeps flaking off.
And how quickly
all of a sudden
they
get the weird splotchy marks underneath their necks. There's a hard line where the mask is. How about the fact that they're... Okay, we'll get into this when we get to the talking points. All right, never mind.
Well, can we go ahead and ask the elephant in the room question?
Yeah.
What if this were white guys dressing up as black women?
Oh, hell no. Nope.
Not today's day and age.
I don't even think that would have been made in 2004.
Well, you say that, but you need to remember that Tropic Thunder was a thing that happened.
And Soul Man was the thing that happened.
Right.
So there was a time when people would be more accepting of it, but in this current climate, no, there's just no way that would happen. Mm-mm. I think 20 years ago it could have.
I don't think they could get away with it doing this again. I seriously don't think they could make a White Chicks 2. Not that anybody's asking for that, but I don't know.
You just put it out in the ether, Scott.
I think there's a good
knock
shot.
On wood quickly.
We're getting it now. Thanks a lot for bringing the Wayans back, man. Some bitch. The thing that really bothered me about that is I think it would have been okay if they had a couple women on the writing staff, but the whole movie, they're basically, I mean, you see that they're trying to, hey, look, as guys, we're dressed as women. Maybe we can see what it's like to be a woman, but they never do that. All they do, everybody is a horrible stereotype, which is funny because that just feels like they missed a great opportunity with that concept. I mean, if you're going to do it, have some introspect. I mean, it's still a comedy, but at least get some. Don't just mock everybody. And that's literally what they did. They just mocked everybody except themselves, really.
The living scarecrow known as Jennifer Carpenter making fun of how fat she is. Mm-hmm.
To the extreme. To the extreme.
Like, yeah.
Well, and not only that, but I feel like everybody in this world just looks at women as, oh, they can't run fast. They're not strong. They can't drive. Everything is just like offensive to women. Mm-hmm. I feel like people would just be all over this because everyone is like, wow, look at how fast those girls are running. Well, girls can run fast.
She must be bionic.
But on the same token, I will say, I mean, I know a lot of women that love this movie, legitimately love this movie. So I think there's something to be said for people, you know, just throwing all their cards on the table and saying, you know what, we're just going to make fun of everybody. I don't care. And they do that. I mean, they do. Everybody. It's an equal opportunity movie. I mean, they make fun of gay people. I mean, Terry Crews waking up realizing he's going to be a gay man now was pretty funny. I mean, there's some definite that they just throw caution to the wind and go for it. So I will give them credit for that. Some, you know, maybe
they do throw everything at the wall. That's the thing. The thing was, we're going to just machine gun all this shit to a wall and hope some of it sticks.
I don't know if any of it did.
I don't know if it did either.
I did laugh, though. There were. Now, I'll get to what made me laugh the most, but I did laugh several times. I mean,
so did I.
There were several.
And I sadly laughed at the fart jokes a couple times. I'm not going to lie.
And his facial expressions.
The first time. What's that?
And his facial expressions in the men's room where he's like, oh, like that whole.
I was watching with my wife and we actually both giggled a little bit because it just the first one just was not I was not expecting it. And it made me laugh. And then my wife is like, is this what you guys do in the bathroom? Do you just go in and just do that? I'm like, no.
And I've been known to have lactose intolerant moments, so maybe.
I don't want to know, John. I really nobody in listening to this podcast does either.
Like I braced myself with those security handles in the side of the toilet.
That was code for stop. Stop talking.
Oh, was that what that was? Oh yeah. Man. I'm not really subtle and stuff.
Don't listen to him, John. I was riveted. Keep going.
My favorite. Okay, I want this on a T-shirt. Once you go black, you're going to need a wheelchair. That is hysterical.
And then the girl rolls up and says, I had a great time last night.
And the dude later did too. He's rolling up. We don't talk about it. He puts his hand on his
shoulder. He puts his hand on his shoulder and then just, I fell. And then he just nods.
Uh-huh. My man.
So funny. Oh, my God. That part was so funny. All right. Well, before the movie started, before you'd seen it, I don't know if this is the first time you saw it or if you saw it before, but what were you expecting before you saw it the first time?
Well, this was my first time I saw it. I was remembering why I didn't go see it back in 2004 because I thought I was going to have pain. I thought there were going to be some tears and I thought it was going to be hard. There was nothing about this movie that interested me way back when. And then like I mentioned before, the movie starts off with that bodega scene and I'm like, oh, well, this might actually be kind of cool. And I had so much fun with that scene and everything was great. And it just went downhill from there. And it went right to where I expected it to be. And this was one of those times where, like, I was pausing just to catch my breath with how bad it was. I need to go clean my kitchen real quick. I need to go sweep the floor just to make sure I'm still alive. I need to do something because...
Need to go watch an episode of GLOW.
I might have, like, one of those scenes where Allison Brie's doing those cartwheels around the thing. Yeah, I mean, that could have happened.
Hey, aren't you the one always saying you want something lighter? This is lighter.
Literally. Yeah, but this is...
Literally.
This didn't even... You're right, this was lighter. However, there was no respecting the audience in this. Scott was talking earlier in the week how movies need to respect the audience, and this definitely proves that point.
I was expecting at least one person, just one single person to say something to the effect of, hey, why do your eyes look like Marilyn Manson? I mean, or something like, why is your jaw so square? Not a single person in this movie said anything outside of, oh, they're tall. They're tall. And I was expecting a lot of overacting, which we got.
Or on the beach, maybe, why do you have a dong, Marlon Wayans? How about that? Why do you have a dong in your bikini? How about that question? When you're in the train, when you're getting, you're putting the pants on and there's obviously a penis there, why does no one say, do you have a penis, Tiffany? Or Brittany, whichever one. Nobody says anything like, oh, you can get them on. You look great in those pants. Oh, look, they ripped in half. No, he has a dong. That's what you should be concerned with here. That's the only thing I'm looking at. I mean, you know, in a totally straight way.
Yeah, what does
totally
that say about you?
Hey, I like an attractive man. Marlon Wayans is an attractive man. And Sean Wayans, by the way, he's a good-looking dude. I didn't realize it before. He's a really good-looking dude.
Where's he been?
Isn't he? Where have any of them been?
Well, Marlon's got a new movie or show on Netflix right now called Naked.
Oh, that's right. Well, wasn't he on New Girl or something? Wasn't Charlene Wayans on New Girl or no?
No, that was baby Damon Wayans.
Oh, I can't keep. There's so many Wayans, man. I mean, seriously, that mom must be so tired. Just so tired.
Well, that was Damon Wayans' son that was on New Girl.
Well, everybody else is from the mom. So, I mean, there's still like 80 kids that came out of that. So,
and they all went to Hollywood.
They did. I think she just dropped them off. Dropped them off at Paramount Studios. Said, here you go.
Here you go, baby. Oh, you go make mama proud, baby. You go ahead.
That wasn't a stereotype at all. But in this movie, it's okay. Nobody that watches this movie can complain about stereotyping. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Nobody. All right. So let's get into our talking points. We each had to come up with three specific things we wanted to talk about. And people said, you guys had a great time with Zombievers, but have a little bit more focus. So there we go. Three specific talking points. We'll just go round robin. We'll each throw out one. Scott, you go first.
Okay. I actually want to talk about the thing that I enjoyed the most, which I assume is the same as you, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Every scene that Terry Crews was in seriously cracked me up. That scene in the car when he's singing 1,000 Miles, because he turns on the radio to hopefully make this guy not like him. So he puts on that song that they did in the car, because there's no way that Terry Crews' character is going to like this song. And not only does he know every single word and sings it kind of well, but he does all these motions. When he does that little head jiggle thing with a da-na-na-na-na-na-na, I miss you. Dude, I lost it. That was legitimately funny. I feel like, as terrible as this movie is, this is why Terry Crews is as big as he is, because I seriously think that this something had something to do with it, because he is so funny, and he is like he's the buffest dude ever. Mm-hmm. That scene when he's on the dance floor, high on whatever thing he put in the girl's drink, and he's got a whistle and he's dancing around. Oh man. Everything with him was so funny, because no matter how hard that guy tried to make himself an unattractive white girl, it just made it worse. It made him like her even more. How obsessed he was, it just cracked me up. Oh, I assume you guys are on board with me on Terry Crews.
God damn, that painting in his house, where he's got the the lion thing over his lap. And I'm just like, oh my God, I want that in my house right now. I just need to have it. He believed, I swear to God, everybody else is trying to act like they're white people. You know, the Wayans are trying to, they're acting so much. I totally believe he is this misogynist rapist by the end. I'm just like, date rapist. I'm like, this guy, he's 100% invested in his character. And I friggin' loved every scene he's in. Like, he made the movie watchable for me.
Oh, he really did.
I agree.
He absolutely did.
Making my way downtown. Welcome. Anybody else have that song in their goddamn head?
I had it in my head all night last night after watching it. I couldn't get it out.
Making a way through the crowd. And I need you. And I miss you. And my God, now I've got him doing the facial, like you said, pointing at his head. And I wonder.
And I miss you. He's like pointing at his watch, time and mind. He points at it. Like he's like pantomiming all the lyrics.
So funny. Seriously, it almost makes the movie really good. It really does.
It's close.
And that scene,
if it was more Terry Crews, it would have been better.
Oh, yeah. I still don't. One of my talking points has, you know what? I'll just segue because mine connects to that. One of mine was, why isn't Terry Crews a bigger star? This movie,
I think he's right where he wants to be as far as his stardom is concerned.
But he should be a movie star. The guy can hold the camera. I have never seen anything he's done that I did not find extremely enjoyable in some way.
Yeah,
I agree.
I, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I think he's just one of those guys. I listened to him on Anna Faris a couple of weeks ago, and like listening to everything he says, I think he's happy with what he's doing. He's happy with where he is. He's an ex football player, and he's just enjoying his life. And something else. I mean, that guy is an amazing artist. If you've never seen his artwork, yeah, go I've look seen, it up.
Yeah. He's very good.
Yeah, I saw the painting with the rug. He did great.
I wonder if he's got that at his house. Do you think he's got it hanging up over his mantle? He's just got that painting still at his house?
I hope so.
I would hope so.
Seriously hope that he has that in his house somewhere.
Hey, why is there a picture of another man in your house? Oh, that? Oh, that's my trainer. That's how he keeps me focused.
Well, the thing that this movie, I mean, in all seriousness, the thing this movie made me remember is I really love him. I mean, he's great on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I've only seen a few of those episodes, but he's great on that. He was great in the Expendables movies. He was great as a Billy Badass. I mean, and then here he's goofy. He's charming. He's funny. He's a misogynist.
He seems like a dude you want to be buds with in real life.
Yeah, he just seems like a cool guy. I've seen him in interviews and stuff, and he seems the most genuine guy in Hollywood right now. I freaking love him. I wish he would get a major motion picture or something, like a starring role in a major motion picture, because I love to watch him.
I agree 100%.
And he's sexy. Let's be honest. I mean, when Marlon Wayans really is looking up at him and he's got just there in his little Speedo, I'm like, I get what ladies like, you know, I get it.
That was uncomfortable.
Aaron's fitting himself for a wheelchair.
That's fair. All right, John, what's your first talking point?
All right, so my first talking point has to do with the guys come up with this plan to look like the girls, and they call up this scientist / makeup artist who's got a suitcase full of tits for some reason. And
that's a great band name.
Yeah, a suitcase full of tits. Yeah. And he shows up, and they say to him, hey, you want to be part of the team? And then we never see him again.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah, all of a sudden, these two nitwits are really good at applying their own makeup that they don't need. They don't need the scientists to put it on for them each night. There should be an army of makeup artists in that room with them. Like when Marlon Wayans' wife shows up to give him a hard time, and she's walking around, and they don't see anything there. That's bullshit. There's no way these two nitwits could sit there and put on that kind of makeup in 5 minutes without an army.
Absolutely. That bothered me through. And I know it's stupid because it's a stupid concept, but I kept thinking that every time somebody showed up and they would throw the makeup on, like the slumber party, how can you do it that fast and be believable to where they're going to believe that you black guys are white girls? There's just no way.
Like, even I thought Mrs. they were going to do that whole play the game with the mud mask or something, put the mud mask on to hide it. But no, they went right for the mask is on again.
I was just going to say, even Mrs. Doubtfire had to put his face in a cake.
Sorry, I lost it with that one. Scott, next talking point.
Okay, this has nothing to do with the fact that these guys are dressed up like women, but okay, they have the slumber party, which you just referenced. Do girls really do that where they show each other how they blow guys on a dildo? Is that a thing that girls do at slumber parties?
If it is, number one, I need to go to more of these. Number two, I don't think Aaron and I are qualified to answer this question.
I will tell you, ladies, do not slap it like that, okay? Do not smack it against your head like that. That is uncomfortable and assault, really.
I learned this from an Eskimo porn.
Somebody explain to me why it's okay that he rubs it all over his face, but he won't put it in his mouth. I don't like that's the part that's going to make him look weird. I don't understand.
Think about the disservice he just did to the massive amount of men just by showing them that. He could have done so many guys a favor by showing them the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But no, he decided to be a dick about it and think about himself.
He decided to be a dick about it. And also cause so much bodily damage to poor guys, because these women are going to grab it and smack it on their head. And that's not the way to do it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's watching this movie for tips, let's be honest. But
Don't grab it too hard because of calluses.
Because of calluses. I think that scene would have been genuinely funnier if he actually would have deep throated it, even like off camera, like you don't actually see would it. You just see their reactions or something. That would have been funnier.
Would it have been funnier for you, Scott? Is that why you want to see it?
I would have been scaroused.
Oh, that was just so weird. My second one is the dance off. Can we just agree? I personally think that the original Rich Chicks actually won the dance off.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't think the fake ones won. I don't think they were better. I don't.
Well, you know, the original ones, I wanted to throw dollar bills at the screen.
Exactly. And they were choreographed better. I think they had a...
They really were. Like, it looked like they were the Spice Girls or something. It was really good.
Yeah, I'm sitting here going, what? They win just because they break dance a little bit? Nah, these women were choreographed. And they were excellent. And they just threw that out. They pulled it out of their pocket. They've obviously rehearsed this for hours and years. So, yeah, I'm sorry. They won. And I think we should do a re-dance-off.
It's the rule of a dance-off, Aaron. Whoever goes last always wins in movies. It does not matter.
That's true. How about the fact that all of a sudden, you know, the girls that we're supposed to be following the whole time. So you have Marlon and Sean and those three girls with Jennifer Carpenter and the other two. And then for the dance off, like three other girls show up for the dance off that we've never seen before.
Yeah, they just because apparently they have closet
an entourage. Hidden.
Yeah, they have an entourage and closet rehearsals. They just do them in a secret warehouse somewhere.
Right.
Wasn't that one girl, by the way, the girl from Joe Dirt? Do you remember Joe Dirt?
No, that wasn't her. Was that her? I know she was in Broken Lizards, Club Dread.
Yes.
Which girl? Not Jamie King.
The one with the real short blonde hair.
Busy Phillips?
The rock hard body.
Busy Phillips? Was that Busy Phillips?
Yes. No, not Busy Phillips.
I don't know. Who cares? Who watched Joe Dirt? Besides, what's his name that was in it? David Spade. See, the only one that saw it, right?
I watched Joe Dirt. I like Joe Dirt.
All right.
It's Dear Tay. Don't try to church it up, Dirt. Anyway, it's funny seeing her because she was like the sweetest girl in Joe Dirt. And here she was just a raging bitch.
If it's
Brittany Daniel.
Is that her name? Brittany Daniel? Was she the one?
Brittany Daniel. And she was the one from Joe Dirt.
Oh, good observation. Mm. But let's go back to the point that those dudes and women did not win the dance off. And there has been like a serious violation of rules somewhere because they shouldn't have even been able to participate. It was an obvious woman dance off.
They all thought they were women.
But if it's a violation of protocol. I think they should, if they get a trophy, they should have to give it back.
Right.
Absolutely. It's not right. Sorry. John, what's your next point?
My next point is, could they have been more obvious about John Hurd being the bad guy?
Other than a flashing light?
Right. You know, a flashing light. Hey, I'm the bad guy right here. They're like, okay, well, there's the suspect is a guy that you've never, ever, 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 ever seen, ever. And we're not going to ever show him to you besides this picture. And then the new suspect is somebody else that you've never, ever seen. And then there's John Hurd, like, looking creepy and weird the whole time. They didn't even try to surprise us with that, did they?
No, they did not.
No.
They did not.
Who else could it have been? There was no other possibilities.
Yeah, there was
nobody else. Strippers? The strippers that showed up? That's how they tried to lead us away from it being John Hurd?
Oh, that's right. They beat him up. What are you doing to strippers? That's their act.
It's a really weird act.
Yes. These two, we hired these two random guys to show up and kidnap you, to dance for you. That's never a good idea, ladies.
Once again, proven that men wrote this movie, not women, because they have no idea how women act. Women would not hire guys to come over
to assault them.
They would not. They would show up as like cops with breakaway pants. That's literally all
firemen.
They would do. Or firemen. Yeah, holding their hose. Absolutely. Or just hire Terry Crews. He's already there and he's the sexiest man in the movie.
Might as well, right?
Go for it.
That's Scott, a really good point.
What's your third one?
My last one is during the auction scene, which first off is gross that, you know, you're auctioning off a date with these women.
I'd buy a date. I mean, it's for charity, right?
Right.
So that makes it okay.
Yeah, charity makes it okay.
Mm-hmm. So one of the ways, I can't remember which one it is. It was Brittany or Tiffany is up on the auction block. And Terry Crews is trying to bid on him/her. And the other white chick is trying to get everybody in the audience to vote by by, or not vote, but bid by grabbing their asses or kicking them and everything. Is your natural reaction when someone behind you grabs your ass to raise your hand up in the air, like,
and yelp? Yep.
And you know, like, that's what every single person did to whatever he did, just randomly raised their hand. Roop. That is not what I'm doing if someone is assaulting me from behind. It was just the most ridiculous thing.
My favorite part is, and no one corrects them. No one's, hey, no. I am not going to spend $5,000 for that creepy ass on the stage. I am not doing it. Nobody says that.
No, I did not bid. The, you know, I can just see the vertical hand across the throat. Like, no, that wasn't me. Shaking your head, no. No, nobody, not a single person did that.
Everybody's just cool with it. Like, ah, 50, another white girl sold. Cool.
This is all normal.
This is all normal. I had a problem with the FBI in general, because why aren't they fired at just at the beginning? The movie should have been 5 minutes long. I mean, they basically beat the shit out of ice cream delivery men. And then it's, it's a joke. You beat the shit out of people delivering ice cream. I mean, you should be fired. That is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they are horrible shots, they're literally in a gunfight and they shoot after the people have already left the store. They're still firing back. That, these people are not trained to be Federal Bureau of Investigation officers. They're just not.
And was the undercover thing like their shtick? Was that just something that they did?
Well, obviously, Scott, they have a whole team. They have Tom Savini on standby.
Yeah.
Are there people like that in the FBI? That's just their thing.
It's the weirdest thing ever, man. Hey, you know what? We got to pretend to be white girls. Let's call the people. And they just show up with their box of boobs, and they have everything out. Like, who are these people you're calling?
Aaron, it's not a box of boobs. It's a suitcase full of tits.
Okay. I hate that word, so I don't use it. So,
I just love the fact that you pulled Tom Savini on standby. That's an awesome phrase. Who are you, sex machine?
I'm here to sex you up. You're going to be a girl now. Or a Mexican. I don't know which one. With the darkest skin Mexicans I've ever seen in my life. And I've been to Mexico. So, yeah.
No, I bought it.
Oh, by the way, when they removed their prosthetics or whatever, when they were in the convenience store at the beginning, they just ripped them off and there was nothing. They're right. All of a sudden just normal. But when they ripped off their masks at the end when they were girls, you still saw like the neck stuff. That was still the white skin and everything. What changed between those two?
Oh no, their face and their hair was perfect, like without a problem. And then there's a definite line of demarcation where the white skin was.
Yeah, that's movie magic, is what that is. And I think they were almost selling it at the end, like they're wearing just a white suit or something to cover it up. And I'm like, no, I don't know what you guys did, but that was professional movie makeup. That wasn't just like a rush job. That was professional movie makeup. Otherwise, you would not look white this entire movie.
Right.
Creepy white. Like creepy white. John, what's your last talking point?
Speaking of creepy light, so I'm going to go back to this because we talked about it a little bit earlier. You have Sean and Damon Wayans, not Damon, but the other one.
Marlon.
Fishhead, whatever. You have them standing next to Maitland Ward and Ann Dudek. And no one stops and says, hey, nobody looks alike. Why? But they're all going, oh my God, how are they being? They're right next to each other, but what's going on?
There's four of them.
There's four of, really? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills just looking at that. What happened? I'm so flustered right now by this thing, even rethinking about this. I can't even get a thought out.
But I can't Maitland even debate, Ward, do I want to edit this or do I want to let it play? I can't decide.
I just let it play. But Ann Dudek and Maitland Ward have not really had much of a way of a career since this movie. Is it because people have stopped and said, well, you know, if Marlon and Dame and Sean Wayans can look like them, then they're not that pretty.
No. Ooh. You know what it is? People stop and go, you look just like Sean and Marlon Wayans.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Have you seen either of them in anything else? I know the one was in How I Met Your Mother for a little bit.
Which one?
Ann Dudek.
Yeah, she was. Maitland Ward's, all she does now is go to cons and dresses up at cons. That's what she gets paid for now.
Like a cosplayer?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's done a couple other TV shows and stuff, but she's like a con princess now.
Oh, cool for her.
That's interesting.
That's cool for her. Good for her.
I guess, if that's where you want your life to go.
Wow. Are we ripping on cosplayers? Is that what we're doing,
they're,
John?
They're wonderful and awesome ladies, and they're all great. But she went from being like in Hollywood making movies to that.
She went from white chicks to that. I would consider it an upgrade.
All right. I asked you. Maybe a good point.
Bam. Oh, man. I still, those women have to be so offended that people would mistake those two ugly people for them because they're both attractive women. And so you're saying that these guys can pretend to be us and people buy that? Our old friends would buy that? I would be deeply offended.
That's the thing, is their best friends believed it. Not even a question other than their height.
Scott, if I don't see you for a year, I still have a rough idea of if you have a creepy ass face or not.
I'd say more than a rough idea.
I can remember a year ago. I don't care how vapid I've become. I would still know that's not you. You don't look like that.
Yeah, no, but collagen. They had collagen injections done.
Well, that definitely whisks it all away.
Yeah, because that's how collagen works.
So dumb. All right. Is there anything that could have made this a better movie? Is there anything that would have made this better for you, John?
If they cared more about the jokes, if they cared more about crafting something that was a better comedy, I mean, they could have made something 10 times better if they actually just cared. But they really just machine gun shot shit at a wall and just hoped something would stick is what they did. And there's very little, like as Scott would say, there's very little respect in that to the viewer. And I don't feel cared for or respected for my time with what they did. So, yeah.
Okay, Scott.
I think they could have made them look better than they did. It looked expensive what they did, but couldn't they just do whatever they did to Eddie Murphy on that SNL skit back in the day? Do you remember that?
Well, you can't really take guys that are built the way they are and turn them into attractive women. It's just not possible.
No, what they should have done is done a Mission Impossible style and just had the women play themselves. And then just rip the mask off at the last minute, and then you just have them with the neckline. I think that would have actually worked. Just dub their lines or something when the guys are talking as themselves.
Right.
Then you've got like, okay.
That's the only way.
That would actually have been a better movie. Now that you mention it, exactly like that, that would have been a better movie. Them just talking as, yeah, I'm with you on that.
But then they're not. But I don't think they would have sold. I think it would have done even worse.
Really?
I
think you think this sells? Like if we can
I really think it did because I think people wanted to see this movie just to see what they were going to do. Because they you go to see a movie like this to see the Wayans brothers do that. You don't go to see these other actresses act like the Wayans brothers acting like them. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but I think it still would have been a better movie.
I agree. I just don't think it would have. You go to see a movie like that to see the Wayans brothers.
Well, I think they could have made something smart. I mean, you know, I can get through some of it, and mostly I can get through it because Terry Crews is in it. I legitimately enjoyed every scene he's in. But I think they could have made like a smart movie where you have black guys that learn about, you know, the white experience or something. We've had the other way around. I think that would be an interesting thing to do, or learn more about women, guys learning more about women. There are smarter ways to do this that it could have been more interesting and just less dumb. I mean, it's just so much dumb in one movie that it's hard to say it's a good movie, even if there are some funny parts.
So are you saying that we should remake this movie, right?
I think we should never touch this movie again. No. It's do not touch for specific reasons. And most of them are just this day and age, you couldn't do it no matter which way you did it. So, yeah, it would just be an outrage movie. Even though it's going for a lot of fun and just dumb humor, it would be an outrage movie, which is sad that we're there, but that's what I think. Could it have gotten any worse though, Scott?
Absolutely. There was a scene I was actually expecting to happen, and thank God it didn't. You remember when they're going shopping and they're going up the stairs and those two little kids?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, the two little kids are like watching them walk up the stairs to try to get an upskirt shot. And they see
balls.
I seriously was expecting there to be some kind of prosthetic, like you just see like a testicle hanging out or something. And I thank God we didn't actually see that because I wouldn't have put it past him. Although
that would have actually been kind of funny to me though.
No, I'm with Scott on that one. I don't want to see junk hanging out of a skirt.
You don't want to see like Marlon Wayans giving you the goat.
I know what that reference is.
Or a bat wing. You don't want to see a bat wing.
No, I don't want to. I'll be waiting for that.
Or the baby bird.
Oh, that was
bad joke. Maybe I don't even know what it qualifies. Just a bad joke. John, what about you? Could anything made it worse other than seeing junk?
If this was done by two other actors, maybe if it was Cat Williams and Eddie Griffin doing it, probably would have made it worse. I really don't know if there is a way to make this worse. I can't. I tried to think. I thought about it, and I just can't. It was bad. You know what? Take Terry Crews out of the movie, and the movie is just unwatchable. It's there just you worse. Go.
Okay, that's all I got too. So that works. All right, so what we're going to do here is, you know, when you're talking about a bad movie, and these podcasts, there are a lot of bad movie podcasts out there. It's really easy to trash movies like this. And so many other podcasts that focus on bad movies love to mockingly throw out five-star reviews, as in, you know what, let's just make fun of these people who enjoyed the movie. So what we're going to do is take the things that we did like and turn it into a positive. Because at The Hollywood Outsider, we try to be more movie fans than movie haters. So take everything you did like about this movie and give us your tailored five-star review, John.
All right. The Wayans brothers take us on an adventure as two FBI agents who dress up as Cuban bodega owners who only speak in Latin song. Awesome, funny, great scene, great comedy, and really well thought out and just all-around good times. Terry Crews is a strong, charismatic basketball player with a flavor for white chicks with black girl booty. Terry does an amazing job of carrying this movie on his entire shoulders, and he's wonderful, and he's just proved point that he is really a star in the making. And then the credits rolled with some nice, clean, crisp font.
Five stars.
You're obsessed with fonts.
All right, Scott, give us your five-star review.
White Chicks had multiple moments that made the 13-year-old kid in me laugh out loud. Seeing two guys trying to fit in suburban socialite scene made for some genuinely funny situations. Top all of that with the true star of the show, Terry Crews, and you've got a recipe for a great flick to watch with a couple of friends and a few drinks. Five stars.
Oh, well done. All right, here's mine. White Chicks has two Wayans boys at their best, plain ugly white women. You'll throw a total bitch fit over all of these hilariously racist and sexist stereotypes. And get ready to enjoy Pro Bowler and hilarious actor Terry Crews stoop to a misogynistic date rapist with stellar singing skills and still walk away with the movie. White Chicks puts the cock back in Caucasian. Five stars.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm mad awesome. I didn't think of it first.
Hoo-ah. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it, I think, for this episode of Bad Movie Night. Remember, we're going to have one at the end of next month as well. If you want to throw in a suggestion for next month's Bad Movie Night, go to Patreon, find the Bad Movie Night post for White Chicks, and reply with your suggestion. We'll add it to the next one. Make sure it's on Netflix, because most people have Netflix. We want everybody to be able to watch the movie. So thank you guys for doing this. Thank you so much, John and Scotty, for being here.
Well, thank you for having us.
It was. These are fun to do. Even if the movie isn't great, it's still fun to do.
We still need to watch these together, though, Aaron. Next month, we got to.
We're doing it. Yep. We're doing September's together, for sure. All right, guys. Well, remember, there is no such thing as a bad movie, just movies that aren't good enough for you. Anybody want to sing the song? Making my way downtown, walking fast, face pass, and I'm homebound. Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na. And I miss you. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. And I need you. I don't even know if I had the words right.
And now I wonder
if I could walk. I don't know the words.
John's not even trying. He's like, no.
Nope.
I'm not doing it. All right. So the Jamie Lannister story, okay? And I call him Jamie Lannister because I can't pronounce his full name. It's Nikolov, blah, 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 blah. Anybody knows? Feel free to tell me.
Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
Okay, sounds good.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's
Jamie Lannister.
That sounds right.
All right, so you guys ready for the Jamie Lannister story?
Yeah.
We get invited to a party. We actually weren't going to go, but we ended up with enough time, so we're going to check it out. I think we were the first ones there, too. Place started filling up, and for those that don't know, I mean, we're all Game of Thrones fans, but Brian is a Game of Thrones fanatic. I mean, like, fanatic. Loves it. Lives it, breathes it. He loves it.
So we're studies it.
So we're sitting down We're sitting at a table. We're right next to the bar to set this up. And all I see is Brian staring across the room. I'm like, and after a while, I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, what are you looking at? And there's Jamie Lannister playing pool, you know, maybe 50 feet from us. So Brian can't stop staring at him. Like he tries to look away and his head just snaps back like a Pez dispenser. And I'm just like, Brian, stop staring at Jamie Lannister. I can't help it. I can't help it. So I'm sitting there going, I got to make him stop staring at him. So I'm like, I'll bet you a dollar you can't stare at him for 5 minutes. And Brian's like, done. Sets the whole timer up on his phone and everything else, puts it on the table, and he's looking directly at the bar. I'm like, oh, well, maybe he can do it. We end up talking to this nice director lady, Deanna, who is a lovely person to talk to, loved hanging out with. Hopefully we'll have her on the podcast at some point. We're having a talk, and we're telling her the whole story, and I'm telling her how he was, like, eye-fucking him from across the room and everything else.
And yeah, he's totally throwing me under the bus.
Yeah, every chance I get. And Brian's like, you know what? When we leave, I'm going to be really cool. I'm going to talk to him, da-da-da-da. I'll be very nice and smooth, and then we'll head out of here. And Deanna, this lovely director, she's like, no, you got to say something to Jamie Lannister about this. And Brian's like, no, you don't. You just let it go. So the 5 minutes are up. I give Brian the dollar. He's all excited. Then what happens? Jamie Lannister walks up to the bar, which is right next to us. Literally, he's 5 feet from me now. And Deanna, the director, says, you got to say something. And Brian's like, no, you don't. You don't have to say anything. You could just let it go and let me have my moment.
I got this. Don't say a word.
But I'm drunk. So
Yes.
So I tap him on the shoulder and he turns around and he's like, hey. And I'm like, hey, you don't know us, but this guy here is a huge fan of yours, like an insane fan. And he's been looking at you with fuck me eyes all night long.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, but.
Did you really say that?
Yeah, I said that. And Brian's like, I'm going to cut you. And I'm like, but I bet him a dollar he wouldn't stare at you for 5 minutes. And he did it. And I think that's worth a handshake. What do you think? And he's like, absolutely. And he goes and shakes Brian's hand. And Brian's like beet red. I mean, and Brian's bald. So his whole head.
Yeah. I'm a glowing red light bulb. I look like a Christmas ornament at this point.
And then at this point, he's got that, like, Jamie Lannister has that laugh/annoyance on his face. Like, okay, now I can't decide if I'm laughing with these guys or if I just want to get the fuck away from them. And he goes to turn back to the bar. And I'm like, by the way, Gods of Egypt rocked. And I laugh when I said it. And Brian's like, let's go. It's time to go.
Yeah, Aaron almost went out the window while I walked back down the steps.
And he's like, yeah. This is my one moment to meet Jamie Lannister, and you made me look like a psycho fan.
That's fantastic.
Oh.
And this was, hey, why was this? Why,
hey, that's whatever.
Why did you deserve this? Because when we went to the trade show at South by Southwest, this is why Brian had this coming. Because we were at this trade show, and I'm, you know, Scott knows this. I've worked at trade shows for the last over a decade, right? So I don't take the free stuff. I generally don't take the free stuff. And I gave him shit for taking all the free stuff. And so, yeah. But they had this cool little like reflector thing for runners, which I'm a runner. And I'm like, oh, I got to get one of those. And Brian's like, oh no, you're too fucking good for that. And so I go and I try to be sly and get one of these things when the lady that I was making fun of Brian to isn't looking. And he makes sure to tap her on the shoulder and point me out and say, look at that. He's a hypocrite. He's da 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 and mocks me. That's why Jamie Lannister happened to him.
Uh-huh. That's kind of like bringing a gun to a knife fight, but okay.
Oh, so fun. It was so fun. Okay, that's going to do
We're
it for
not laughing our, at you.
Stop your laughing. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Hope you guys enjoyed that little Patreon sampler platter. Maybe it motivates you. Maybe it makes you quit the podcast altogether. I have no idea, but I hope you had a good time.
You called a sampler platter right around Thanksgiving. That's pretty nice.
You like that?
Yeah, it's a nice touch. I like that.
Been working on it. I was trying to figure out how to put it all together, and I didn't like buffet because, well, if you listen to our Patreon episode, you would know why.
You're done with buffets.
All right, guys. Make sure you come back, and we're going to have a Justice League, I believe, around the 17th, 18th, 19th, something like that. We're going to do that shortly after the movie comes out. And then the week of Thanksgiving, we'll actually not have a regular episode, but I think Justice League will come out that week. and then we'll be back the week after Thanksgiving. Thanks again for listening. Find other episodes, reviews, and info at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. And remember to grab the Hoe and the Go with our Apple or Android apps. And remember, you can get all that goodness at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. And I got nothing else. Guys, what do you want to say as we leave?
I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season. If you're listening to this after all, that's well and done. But enjoy the time with your families and eat some turkey. Have some ham, some pie.
If any one of you have any suggestions of things Scott should say, please send them to scott@thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Type them out for me, and I will read them on the show for you.
Right.
I'll be like that guy that does the honest trailers. I'll just do it in my voice. I'm a sissy little girl.
See, you pulled that out of your hat. Look at that. Really? Well done. Well done. That's a condescending clap. You like it?
Condescending clap. That's twice I've got that today. The last one's a little slower.
Last one was legit. This is condescending. So, different. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. And remember, the next time you head to the theater, buy popcorn.